a place we love to go and love being members.
The view, the best in the North State, from the restaurants, meeting rooms, and of course on the award-winning 18-hole golf course, Riverview Golf and Country Club. It's the place to belong.
Go in and meet the friendly staff today or go to their website at riverviewgolf.net and find out about their introductory memberships.
Riverview Golf and Country Club, corporate, social, tennis, fitness, and golf. Get it all. Become a member.
It's affordable and fun. Riverview Golf and Country Club.
I'm Lee Hull.
And I'm Lee Esses.
And we co-host Writing Roots.
It's a 10-minute podcast in which we, an author,
and her editor,
cover lessons we've learned about the writing process.
This podcast is for storytellers of all kinds. We discuss everything from the hero's journey to how to slog through that pesky middle section of your book. From filling out your author's toolbox to answering your questions about the craft and the industry. From magic to mayhem.
In May, we're discussing how to design the perfect character and giving authors the right tools to make sure that their characters are people, not caricatures. In June, we're discussing the four-letter words of the writing world.
So whether you're an experienced storyteller or still working on that first book,
now is the time to check us out.
Writing Roots is available on iTunes, Spotify, and anywhere you find your podcasts. And don't forget to always
write selfishly.
KCNR is proud to announce that we are now live at 96.5 FM, as well as online, and as always, heard on 1460 AM. Weekday mornings, wake up with the Sue McClain News Hour, followed by Free Fire Radio, your talk radio station at the epicenter of change in downtown Reading. 9 to noon, be informed and laugh along with Armstrong and Getty, the conscience of the nation. Noon to 3, find your financial peace with Dave Ramsey. 3 to 6, the hard-hitting constitutional expert, Mark Levin. Monday through Thursdays at 6 p.m., local shows feature everything from the paranormal to pop culture to unsung heroes of our area. 7 to 9, Ben Shapiro with an expanded program that brings the issues of the day to your radio. And finish your weekday with the Chris Plant Show, 10 p.m. to 1 a.m. KCNR, now on 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, and always online. More than ever, we're your locally owned, community-connected talk radio.
For many people, their faith, their family, and their health are the most important things in their lives. Every day, the work that I do influences these things. Children go to college, couples move into their first home, people retire, businesses start, and charities are supported. All of this in part because of the work I do. I can make complicated things clearer so people understand them. I can solve problems and find solutions. People need someone to put their interests first. And for many people, I am that someone. I can lend an ear, stand with you during life's ups and downs, and provide that advice at just the right time. That's why I love my job. That's why I'm a financial advisor, Susan Eastman, with Wells Fargo Advisors in Redding, California, 243-7561. Once again, this is Susan Eastman with Wells Fargo Advisors. I'd love to be your financial advisor. Please give me a call at 243-7561.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Common Senior Living. One of the most rewarding things about what I do is watching the positive transformation that often occurs when a senior moves here to our beautiful, independent retirement community. Seniors can become isolated, find it hard to eat good, healthy meals, and even just get around. I call this a failure to thrive. At River Commons, we solve those challenges. You are surrounded by friendly people with similar life experiences. Chef Shalisa and her crew provide 3 delicious and healthy meals daily. Activities Director Ernie always has a wide variety of things to do, from arts and crafts to outings on our 25-passenger bus. Plus, we provide utilities, cable TV, scheduled transportation, weekly housekeeping, and more. We see seniors go from survive to thrive, and that is just a wonderful thing. Call today for a tour or luncheon a tour and experience River Commons for yourself. 221-2121 or on the web river-commons.com.
Hi, this is Senior Chief Rob Burrows with the Northern California Veterans Museum and Heritage Center, and I am your host every Saturday morning from 9 to 11 with Battlefield Expressions. Battlefield Expressions is where we talk about veterans issues, advocacy for our community, and those in our community who help support our veterans. Once again, join me every Saturday morning from 9 to 11, Battlefield Expressions on KCNR 96.5, 1460 AM.
Girl. I expected to be a lot easier.
I didn't know what step to take next.
I was transitioning from the military.
I was a vehicle gunner.
An avionics specialist.
I missed my unit, my family.
Playing with my daughter, I'd felt like a stranger.
I didn't have a clear sense of what to do next.
And then I thought, if I'm going through this, other veterans have gone through it too, right?
So I reached out, and I saw that I wasn't alone.
Go to maketheconnection.net to learn how other veterans have overcome the challenges of transitioning out of the military.
Genius compares your policy against options from top insurers to make sure you're getting the right home insurance coverage at the best possible price. If Policy Genius finds you a better rate than what you're currently paying, they'll do all the work to get you switched. If you own a car, too, Policy Genius will compare your home and auto policies across different insurers and even mix and match and find you savings. They've saved their customers an average of $1,127 per year doing just that. If you don't have home insurance or if you're overpaying, fix it right now. Be a responsible adult. Go get life insurance while you're at it, or disability, or auto insurance. I mean, really, it's your one-stop shop for the insurance you need. If you'd like to put a little cash back in your pocket right now, see how much you can save by reshopping your home insurance rates at PolicyGenius.com. That's PolicyGenius.com. Again, PolicyGenius.com. Okay, so the DOJ puts out a decision letter, and the decision letter says that Flynn entered a guilty plea, which he has since sought to withdraw, to a single count of making false statements in a January 24, 2017 interview with investigators of the FBI. This crime, however, requires the statement to not be simply false, but materially false with respect to a matter under investigation. That is the law. Again, it has to be false with respect to a matter under investigation. The government has determined, pursuant to the principles of federal prosecution, based on extensive review, that continued prosecution of this case would not serve the interests of justice. Materiality, said the DOJ, is an essential element of the offense. Materiality, moreover, requires more than mere relevance or relatedness to the matter being investigated. It requires probative weight, whereby the statement is reasonably likely to influence the tribunal in making a determination required to be made. And they're saying that this is not something that happened. They say, after a considered review of all the facts and circumstances of this case, including newly discovered and disclosed information appended to the defendant's supplemental pleadings, and basically it was only in the last couple of weeks that the government finally turned over to the defense all of these relevant documents, the government has concluded that the interview of Flynn was untethered to and unjustified by the FBI's counterintelligence investigation into Mr. Flynn, a no longer justifiably predicated investigation that the FBI had, in the Bureau's own words, prepared to close because it had yielded an absence of any derogatory information. In early January, the FBI had said, we're going to close this thing. The government is not persuaded that the January 24th, 2017 interview was conducted with a legitimate investigative basis and therefore does not believe Mr. Flynn's statements were material, even if untrue. Moreover, we do not believe that the government can prove either the relevant false statements or their materiality beyond a reasonable doubt. So here is the background as the DOJ lays it out. The FBI opened a counterintelligence investigation into Flynn on August 16, 2016, as part of the larger Crossfire Hurricane umbrella investigation into the presidential campaign of President Trump and its coordination with Russian officials. Codenamed Crossfire Razor, the investigation's stated goal was to determine whether Flynn was directed and controlled by and or coordinated activities with the Russian Federation in a manner which is a threat to the national security or a possible violation of the Foreign Agents Registration Act. In addition to the predication for opening Crossfire Hurricane, which didn't identify Flynn, the FBI predicated the counterintelligence investigation of him on an articulable factual basis that consisted of three facts: Flynn's service as a foreign policy advisor to the Trump campaign, his publicly documented connections to state-affiliated Russian entities, and the fact that he traveled to Russia in December 2015. Now, after 4 months of investigation, the FBI came up with nothing, and they found that he was no longer a viable candidate as part of the larger Crossfire Hurricane umbrella case. They prepared to close the investigation. At some point prior to January 4th, 2017, the FBI even crafted a closing communication to effect the termination of the case. The document noted the specific goal and predication for the investigation. It laid out the numerous searches of holdings and investigative steps that yielded no derogatory information on Flynn. It stated that the investigation had failed to produce any information on which to predicate further investigative efforts. It noted no interview of Flynn was required as part of the case closing procedure. And then they said the FBI is closing the investigation. Before the intended case closing actually took effect, the FBI learned that Flynn had talked to Kislyak in December 2016. By this time, of course, Flynn had already been named by Trump the incoming national security advisor. The FBI had the transcripts of the relevant calls. Believing that the counterintelligence of Flynn was to be closed, the FBI leadership determined to continue its investigation of Flynn on the basis of the calls and considered opening a new criminal investigation based solely on the Logan Act. And this is where you get into complete BS. Okay, the Logan Act has not been prosecuted successfully in 100 years. Like, really, it's never been prosecuted successfully, not once. On January 4th, 2017, FBI Deputy Assistant Director Peter Strzok learned that the closure had not been timely executed, the counterintelligence investigation into Flynn was formally still open. Strzok immediately relayed the serendipitously good news to Lisa Page, the special counsel to FBI Director Andrew McCabe, remarking, "Our utter incompetence actually helps us." Page reacted with surprise and relief. Strzok instructed agents to keep it open for now at the behest of the seventh floor. Strzok indicated there was a need to decide what to do with internal FBI messages from that afternoon, related conversations about a potential interview. As of January 4th, the FBI kept its counterintelligence investigation based solely on his calls with Kislyak. On January 12th, the Washington Post reported those communications between Flynn and Kislyak. The next, Sean Spicer, spokesperson for the Trump transition, clarified, had involved only logistics that seemed to contradict the nature of the calls. And then VP Pence stated in a news interview that Flynn had suggested his act did not relate to sanctions. Around that time, FBI Director Comey advised DOJ leadership of its investigation into Flynn, and senior officials at the FBI and DOJ had concerns that the incumbent White House officials' descriptions of Flynn's calls with Kislyak were not accurate. Position the FBI, the incoming Trump administration, of the Flynn-Kislyak communication. Okay, so now what we have is they think that Flynn lied to members of the administration, but they have the transcripts of the calls. So they know that he didn't do anything that actually violated the Logan Act or broke the law, but they're seeing daylight between the Trump administration and Flynn. And so do we want to get Flynn fired, get him to testify against the administration, or do we want to catch him in a lie, say he has told other members of the Trump administration, and then we can catch him in a lie and we can threaten him so that he'll turn on members of the Trump administration. Logic here. Deputy Attorney General Sally Yates and other DOJ officials believed that the incoming administration should be notified, but Comey said no. Yates and another senior DOJ official became frustrated for withholding the information from the Trump administration, repeatedly insulating from a potential compromise of a counterintelligence investigation to the protection of a purported criminal investigation. The Deputy Attorney General, DNI, and Director of Central Intelligence Agency all agreed the FBI should notify the incoming Trump administration of what had actually been said on the calls. Comey refused to brief the White House because Comey apparently convinced that the Russians were playing the Trump administration and he didn't want to tip them off to the fact that an investigation was going on. So Comey should have been fired like forthwith. This is ridiculous stuff from James Comey, who's busy posturing presumably in the woods right now. Matters came to a head January 24th, 2017. This is all the DOJ letter. That morning, Yates contacted Director Comey to notify the White House of the communication. So Yates has been sort of dragged through the mud by the Trump administration to a certain extent. Yates actually wanted the FBI to notify the White House. Director Comey didn't return the call. Back later that day, he advised her FBI agent way to the White House to interview Flynn. Yates was flabbergasted and dumbfounded. Other senior DOJ officials hit the roof upon learning of that development, saying an inter-coordinated with the DOJ. In fact, officials at the FBI had been engaged in discussions of how to approach Flynn and whom to notify. On January 21st, 2017, Strzok proposed to Bill Page's counterintelligence chief that Flynn should be given a defensive briefing about an investigation under the Crossfire Hurricane umbrella, or alternatively, an interview under light defensive briefing pretext. Strzok noted that they just to inform the vice president or somebody else, and they didn't want to do that. And they wouldn't explain why they had a Trump administration. On January 22nd, an FBI attorney emailed Strzok and Page, usually tell the White House, "I think we ought to do what we normally do." Though the official noted that they could be told not to debrief or interview Flynn. In advance of the interview, Comey determined they would go interview Flynn, defying either the DOJ or the White House. In a 2018 interview, he said that this was something I probably wouldn't have done or gotten away with in a more organized administration. Okay, then messages between stated that Priestep had conducted several conversations with Andy McCabe because he wanted to know why we had to go aggressively doing these things openly. On the morning of January 24th, follow-up messages between stated that Priestep brought it up again in front of Comey, was frustrated and cut him off. In any event, McCabe called Flynn to arrange the interview. He explained that recent media statements about his contacts with Kislyak merited a sit-down, and they said that they wanted to do this quickly, quietly, discreetly as possible. Flynn was unguarded in the interview. He viewed the agents as allies. When interviewing Flynn, Strzok show him the transcripts of the calls, nor did the agents give at any point warnings that making false statements would be a crime. Now, normally, in these sorts of situations, you want to person fair warning that they're about to lie, specifically because you already know that they have lied in the past. So you sort of want to, they didn't want to do that. The basic idea here was that they were going to essentially catch Flynn out. And then FBI agents' recollections when asked if Flynn recalled any conversation in which he encouraged Kislyak not to escalate the situation in response to American sanctions, Flynn responded uncertainly, stating, "Not really, I don't remember, it wasn't don't do anything." Flynn also stated, although it was possible, he didn't recall any conversation in which the ambassador stated that Russia would moderate its response due to Flynn's request. Meanwhile, when asked if he recalled asking countries on that UN vote on Israeli settlements, Flynn explained the conversations were along the lines of where do you stand and what's your position. After the interview, the FBI agents expressed uncertainty as to whether Flynn had actually lied. FBI agents reported to their leadership that Flynn exhibited a very sure demeanor and didn't give any indicators of both of them. Flynn wasn't lying or didn't think. Comey was asked, "Do you believe Flynn lied?" Comey said, "I don't know. I think there's an argument he may be lied. It's a close one." On November 30th, 2007, Central Counsel's Office filed a criminal information against Flynn, charging him with that single count of making false statements. Flynn pled guilty to the offense. Okay, so the question as to the law is whether there is materiality here. They say that it is not just that you have to tell a lie. You have to show that there was materiality to the underlying investigation. In the case of Mr. Flynn, says the DOJ, the evidence shows his statements were not material to any viable counterintelligence investigation or any investigation for that matter initiated by the FBI. The FBI had recognized it lacked sufficient basis to sustain its initial counterintelligence investigation. They found no derogatory information on Flynn. The communications between Flynn and Kislyak did not warrant either continuing that existing counterintelligence investigation or opening a new criminal investigation. The calls were entirely appropriate on their face. Flynn never disputed the calls were made. Indeed, Flynn, as former DIA, as he was director of Defense Intelligence Agency, would have readily expected the FBI had known of the calls. In the words of one senior DOJ official, it seemed logical there may be some communication between an incoming administration and their foreign partners. And there was nothing said on the calls to indicate anything inappropriate going on. Also, the FBI knew the contents of the calls. With no dispute as to what was said, there was no factual basis for the predication of a new counterintelligence investigation. And they didn't open a criminal investigation based on Flynn's calls with Kislyak predicated on the Logan Act. In fact, they never attempted to open a Logan Act investigation on these grounds. Flynn's communications implicated no crime. Okay, so they decided they're going to let this thing go. And the reason they're going to let this thing go is because, again, there was really no criminal activity here. This has set off an absolute firestorm. The idea here is that Flynn presumably should have been prosecuted because it's unusual for the DOJ, after a guilty plea, to actually just release the person. We'll get to that in just 1 second. First, being home a lot, it makes you somewhat realize exactly what needs to change in your life. The last few months have taught us what is important in life. It's also taught us what we need to eliminate or change, and it's the same for our business. This is a really dynamic business situation. I mean, a lot of moving parts. We don't exactly know what's going to come next, and that means you have to be flexible. It means that you have to be on the game. Do you have a hairball of multiple software systems when you could streamline with one? All you need is NetSuite by Oracle. It's the world's number one cloud business system. Finance, HR, inventory, e-commerce, everything you need all in one place to save time, money, and headaches. Whether you're doing a million or hundreds of millions in sales, NetSuite will give you visibility and control so you can manage every penny with precision. Join over 20,000 companies who trust NetSuite to go faster with confidence. NetSuite surveyed hundreds of business leaders and assembled a playbook of the top strategies they are using as America reopens for business. Receive your free guide, 7 Actions Businesses Need to Take Now, and schedule your free product tour at netsuite.com/Ben. Get your free guide, schedule your free product tour right now at netsuite.com/Ben. That is netsuite.com/Ben. Coming up, Attorney General Bill Barr, who is now dumping these charges, being dragged over the coals because apparently it's very bad to let somebody go when you know they actually haven't committed a real crime. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Are you drowning in IRS tax debt? Get ready for a toll-free hotline. Take advantage of new IRS tax forgiveness programs. Call Civic Tax Relief for free information now. Find out about the Fresh Start program that is now available through Civic Tax Relief. Civic Tax Relief's special tax hotline can help you discover all the relief programs you qualify for free. Just call 800-841-0908. 800-841-0908. 800-841-0908.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
Please briefly hold. You are very important to us.
Your customers need to get a hold of you and you with them. Make it easier with Podium, the messaging tool for local businesses. Podium helps communicate with customers more efficiently by making your business line textable, giving customers a more convenient way to connect. Most businesses can be up and running within 24 hours. Go to podium.com/business or text the code business to 511-511. Text business to 511-511 today.
Are your tax problems keeping you up at night? Hi, Tax Owl here from the Coast One Tax Group. If you owe $10,000 or more to the IRS or state in back taxes, take 10 minutes and call Coast One Tax Group. It could save you 93% or more. Coast One Tax Group helps people all across America save big amounts of money. David from California saved $48,000 on back taxes. James and Lisa from Dallas saved $102,000. Call Coast One Tax Group now at 888-337-6949. A 10-minute call could save 93% or more. So who are you going to call? Coast One Tax Group, that's who. See how much you can save. The consultation is always free. What are you who waiting for? Relieve your tax stress today. Call Coast One Tax Group at 888-337-6949. That's 888-337-6949.
Adopt US Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to the Ben Shapiro Show. So apparently, Attorney General Bill Barr is very bad. He's a very, very bad man. Very bad man. Why? Because he is not forcing Mike Flynn to do time in prison for fibbing to the FBI over a non-material matter that they should have closed weeks beforehand. The Flynn release has basically set off a firestorm. The idea here is that Bill Barr, the Attorney General, is doing something deeply, deeply terrible because he's going back on the DOJ's initial prosecution of Flynn or threat of prosecution of Flynn to get him to bargain to a plea deal. Right. He originally pled guilty back in 2017, and now they're abdicating, basically. They're just getting rid of the case. And so people are mad about it. Julie O'Sullivan, former federal prosecutor who teaches criminal law, says, I've been practicing for more time than I care to admit. I've never seen anything like this. The case against Flynn was originally brought about by the office of the former special counsel, Robert Mueller. It had become a political cause for Trump and his supporters. Barr instead short-circuited the case. On Thursday, Timothy Shea, the interim U.S. attorney in the District of Columbia, told the judge overseeing the case the prosecutors were withdrawing it. That's because the department could not prove to a jury that Flynn's admitted lies to the FBI were material. The move essentially erases Flynn's guilty plea. Because he was never sentenced and the government is not willing to pursue the matter further, the prosecution is virtually certain to end, although the judge could still decide whether to grant the department's request to dismiss it with prejudice. It could theoretically be refiled in the future if the judge decides differently. A pardon would have been a lot more honest, said Samuel Buell, a former federal prosecutor who now teaches criminal law at Duke University. Buell says the law regarding what counts as material is extremely forgiving to the government. The idea is that law enforcement is permitted to pursue criminal theories of criminality and to interview people without having firmly established there was a crime first. Yeah, but if you just, like, 5 seconds ago said you were dismissing the entire investigation against somebody, and then you are just relieved that it's still technically open so that you can try to, basically they're trying to flip Flynn against other people in the Trump administration. Because here's the bottom line. It looks like there were people, including Comey, inside the DOJ and the FBI at the time who were firmly convinced that Trump-Russia collusion had happened, and that was just a matter of raising the evidence so as to go get Trump. And so Flynn was just a tool in that. He was just a way of going after Trump and or removing Flynn from the process because as the national security advisor, he would be overseeing the investigation itself in some ways. It would be able to protect Trump against some of the investigation. That's a theory of Andrew McCarthy over at National Review. So the DOJ saying, listen, we're not going forward with this. Yes, it's unusual for the DOJ to do this. You know what else is really unusual? Prosecuting the national security advisor on the basis of a Logan Act fib. Okay, the Logan Act is not a thing. It's not a thing. And the idea that the Logan Act was supposedly the predicate for going and getting him to lie so that you could go after him and get him out of the chain of command is really incredible. Coming up, we're going to get back into coronavirus. A lot of people saying, look at that, the number of cases are increasing. Well, that's not the whole story. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
The average adult is issued 32 troopers that, with proper care and just a little discipline, should serve you well during your entire tour of duty on this planet. They're called your teeth. But when your platoon gets out of line, holes in the formation, or other problems, you need to call in an expert, like Dr. William Farrell, with decades of experience keeping those troops in line and executing their assigned duties properly and dependably. If you'd rather not be there while he reestablishes order amongst the troops, Dr. Farrell offers sedation dentistry. industry. He and his highly trained staff will whip your troops into shape without any discomforts. And having served himself in both the Navy and the Marine Corps, Dr. Farrell offers special consideration to veterans. Let him take the best care of your platoon of teeth, and they will serve you always. Call 547-5757 or visit palosidrodentistry.com. At ease.
And for a limited time, Dr. Farrell is offering x-ray, exam, and cleaning for just $175. Call 547-5757 to schedule your visit.
Every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m., join us at Radio Wasteland, your local guide to the unexplained and the unknown. Each week, we cover all things unexplained, from the moving stars in the sky to the things that go bump in the night. Visit us as we explore these topics and more as our in-studio team digs deeper with featured guests and listener call-ins. Mondays are rough, but now your overworked brain has a chance for some sweet relief with Radio Wasteland.
Radio Wasteland, Mondays at 6 on KCNR.
You may have seen the sign. You may have even driven by it today. Hi, I'm Rick Gendra, owner of Gendra 76 on the corner of Cypress and Bocelli. We've been a family-owned automotive care and repair business since 1979. And yes, we still pump your gas and clean your glass. Stop by anytime. Let us show you what old-fashioned service is all about. And try our app to save up to 25 cents per gallon of quality 76 gas.
Did you know that the City of Reading has started licensing commercial cannabis activities within the city limits? Synergy is the first of the city's approved retailers to obtain licensure, bringing to the Reading area the most experienced retailer in the North State. They will ensure that your visit is both professional and comfortable. Access is simple and discreet. Synergy has a private 25-space parking lot at the back of the building. Synergy is located at 345 Hempstead Drive, Reading.
I'm celebrating local heroes. Tune in the second Thursday each month at 6.05 p.m. right after the news for Heroes of the North State on North State Now. I'm Michelle Slade. During North State Now, we will speak with your neighbors, friends, family, and community members who give back, not to be recognized, but because it's the right thing to do. During these conversations, we will learn what truly makes our community and the people in it. Join me the second Thursday of each month at 6.05 p.m., right after the news, for Heroes of the North State on North State Now.
Reading Electric Utility cares about the whole community, and we offer an income-qualified residential energy discount program that can save you up to $400 a year on your energy bill. And once per year, CARES bill credit up to $300. To find out if your income qualifies you for a residential discount program and CARES program, call 339-7200. That number again is 339-7200.
From the Pacific Justice Institute, this is The Legal Edge with Brad Dacus.
Seven California elected officials are suing California Public Employment Relations Board for violating their First Amendment free speech rights. Well, Pacific Justice Institute will give free to people seeking to opt out of union dues. Visit pji.org.
Stay informed on religious freedoms. Receive our weekly email newsletter, The Legal Insider, at pji.org.
Is proud to announce that we are now live at 96.5 FM, as well as online, and as always, heard on 1460 AM. Weekday mornings, wake up with the Sue McClain News Hour, followed by Free Your Talk Downtown 9 to noon, along with Armstrong and Getty, Financial Peace, in Comfort, my local show, Normal, to Pop Cult, R and 7 to 9, Bench Appears, brings the issues, and finish your weekday to 1 AM, now on 5 FM, and open more than ever.
The Emergency Relief Act on time first vehicles needed to treat and death as possible and see patient or adult patients. Region delivered help passion, the patient and their
family. Okay, I'm Haley Clayton, division chief from Six Movement, fully and global female professional race and achieved with a degree in excellence. You to thrive. Tonight from 6 to 7. Okay.
Every Monday, Radio Waste, your local guide, and from the moving sky to the bump, visit us for these topics as our in digs deep, rough, and sweet rant.
Radio R.
Summer, you prove your career. With a Justice Compass, you can more educate today. Moment is happening. Summer is the pledge credits. With now complete 100.com/3 million
in the unemployment rate in the United depression levels, it will take 10 years to cover the jobs. Hey, are we allowed to discuss we do that now? This routine, talk about opening up. So it's obvious this is a political play. Really, he's a terrible governor. It's incredible. The man has, he has been any governor worse than Ron DeSantis in the mid-50s, right? Anybody else. Okay. We're only going to shut down when we stays open. Yes, we'll do, but I'm not going to treat Miami. DeSantis, we said, listen, because they're staying away from
virtually missions, at least via a B, via thing that floor mission is heard, and you have tech with such as in the home, drive fours.
It does chance, well, Andrew, I mean, the fact that he gets on luxury to tell us he can blame government, such a demagogue, when life is priced in terms of, when a policy suggests down to zero, air homes, you work with social distance, we're going to just stay locked down forever until the risks go back to zero. We're going to abolish death. Right? Joe Biden tweeted out that it's not worth one life to raise the Dow Jones Industrial Average 1 point. Okay, well, then I suppose that we should probably just all abandon our jobs, and then we can sit in our homes and we can farm dirt in our backyard. Sound good? We can go back to pre-civilization. Everybody's life expectancy was 35. I mean, I guess that's if you're a moron. So here's Andrew Cuomo suggesting yesterday, you know, we're not going to choose between the health and the economy. We're just, there's a choice. Whenever people suggest in politics that a choice is a false choice, typically they mean that it's just a choice they don't actually want to talk about. Here's Andrew Cuomo avoiding responsibility for making choices that he's going to have to make.
If it's about money, we'll figure it out. But you have to have your health. That's why public health versus the economy. I don't see the trade-off. We have to have our health. We should protect human life. I don't care if a person is old. You know, I'm old by your definition. I still think I have a value, right? My mother's old. You know, she's the most precious person to me. So protect every life. And I'm not going to trade off public health. And we'll figure out the dollars and we'll figure out the economic impact.
What a cheap and lazy political point of view. I mean, that is just cheap, lazy demagoguery. Of course, every life has value. Of course, I've got parents who are in their 60s. You think I want them to plot? Nobody wants my... I have grandmothers who are in their 90s. Do you think I want them to plot? Of course, I don't want them to plot. Nobody wants anybody to die. The question is, what are the risks that we as a society are willing to undertake to allow an economy to function? Hey, this is complete idiocy, the way that this is being discussed. Complete idiocy. And by the way, I don't want to hear from Andrew Cuomo about how dedicated he is to protecting the elderly when he wouldn't even protect the damn nursing homes. Let me show you some stats from these nursing homes, because they're insane. Let me tell you some stats from the nursing homes. Okay, so, by country, here are the percentage of COVID-19 deaths taking place in nursing homes. This is across the world, okay? 25% of all deaths in Australia were in nursing homes. 62% in Canada, 33% in Denmark, 51% in France, 36% in Germany, 60% in Ireland, 32% in Israel, 40% in Portugal, 45% in Sweden. Okay, and then, if you look at the United States, what you're going to see is similar statistics. In the United States, by state, 58% of deaths, nursing homes. Connecticut, 55%. Delaware, 65%. Florida, 38%. Georgia, 48%. Indiana, 35%. Kentucky, 57%. Louisiana, 37%. Minnesota, 81%. Mississippi, 44%. New Hampshire, 77%. Oklahoma, 43%. Rhode Island, 76%. Tennessee, 25%. Wisconsin, 42%. New Jersey is reporting that their death share is actually now 50%. Pennsylvania is up to 68%. Virginia is 59% nursing homes. New York, we don't know, because New York refuses to report these statistics. Why does New York refuse to report the statistics? Because then Andrew Cuomo might be forced to recognize that his dumbass policy of we are going to force nursing homes to take back in people with COVID-19 killed a lot of people. Here was Andrew Cuomo being asked about his state handling of the nursing homes and completely, you know, just botching it.
We knew the nursing homes were going to be a target, and whatever we do, they will be a target. Our people are doing everything they can do. We have the equipment, we have the staff. They're doing everything they could do.
Okay, they're doing everything they can do. Well, they're doing everything they can do in light of the fact that your regulations are garbage. But here's the bottom line. Would you actually like to protect the people who are dying from COVID-19? Protect the nursing homes. That is task number one, is protect the nursing homes. And then we need to transfer people back into work, and we need to do it forthwith. And there's nothing more lazy than this idea that if you loosen lockdown, if you let people go back to work, that it's going to be like 9/11 every day. This is what Al Gore was saying. Al Gore was out there yesterday saying it'll be just like 9/11 every day. Provide me an alternative. I've not yet heard an alternative from any of you. From any of you. Like what? When the cases get to zero, it ain't happening. With 80% asymptomatic transmission. What, when we're doing 50 million tests a day? When we have contact tracing for 50 million people in the United States? The hell are you talking about? Here's Al Gore being a demagogue.
When the University of Washington made these adjustments, they said within a month we're going to see 3,000 deaths per day, 200,000 new infections each day. That's a 9/11 every single day. And ignoring that, thinking that somehow magically that's not going to happen. This is a botched reopening.
It's a botched reopening? We haven't even reopened yet. The hell are you talking about? And how do you know it's a botchery when you haven't even seen the stats coming out of Georgia? My favorite thing is when the members of the media start citing increased testing statistics to cite the increased number of positives. They've been doing this routine. Oh, look at how many positives are coming out in Texas and Florida. Yes, because they're increasing their testing. They're increasing their testing, you idiots. Okay, in just a second, we're going to get to actually, you know, the measures that are now being taken, because they're absurd. They're absurd. I'm sorry. They're just absurd. And the attitude that's being taken with regard to relieving lockdown, we have to discuss the fact that 33 million Americans are out of jobs. And if you refuse to recognize this thing, you are abandoning those 33 million Americans. And don't tell me you can fill them in with a government check. You can't. These are people who are losing their livelihoods. They're losing their dreams. They're losing their ability to feed their children. And you're telling me you're the compassionate one because you won't even condemn a governor for refusing to protect the nursing homes? Go to hell. Seriously, it's ridiculous at this point. We're going to get to how people won't even discuss the policy in just 1 second. First, being home a lot, it makes you somewhat realize exactly what needs to change in your life. The last few months have taught us what is important in life. It's also taught us what we need to eliminate or change, and it's the same for our business. This is a really dynamic business situation. I mean, a lot of moving parts. We don't exactly know what's going to come next, and that means you have to be flexible. It means that you have to be on the game. Do you have a hairball of multiple software systems when you could streamline with one? All you need is NetSuite by Oracle. It's the world's number one cloud business system. Finance, HR, inventory, e-commerce, everything you need all in one place to save time, money, and headaches. Whether you're doing a million or hundreds of millions in sales, NetSuite will give you visibility and control so you can manage every penny with precision. Join over 20,000 companies who trust NetSuite to go faster with confidence. NetSuite surveyed hundreds of business leaders and assembled a playbook of the top strategies they are using as America reopens for business. Receive your free guide, 7 Actions Businesses Need to Take Now, and schedule your free product tour at netsuite.com/Ben. Get your free guide, schedule your free product tour right now at netsuite.com/Ben. That is netsuite.com/Ben. Coming up, you know, it turns out that if you want to forcibly lock people down, you're going to have to enforce all sorts of bizarre rules that end with things like yelling at the ice cream man. Really, I have the tape. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Hi, this is Annette Benning. I'd like to tell you about a nonprofit human services organization that has been helping everyone in performing arts and entertainment for more than 130 years, the Actors Fund. The fund serves everyone in film, theater, television, music, opera, radio, and dance with programs to support a life in the arts. The fund offers emergency financial assistance in times of need, including help for those in crisis due to the COVID-19 pandemic. Services include health care and insurance counseling, housing, secondary employment, and training services and more, all to help foster stability and resiliency for the people who lift us up and brighten our days through their work, especially in times of crisis and anxiety. To learn more, please visit actorsfund.org.
Furnished by the Entertainment Industry Foundation.
Are you drowning in IRS tax debt? Get ready for a toll-free hotline. Take advantage of new IRS tax forgiveness programs. Call Civic Tax Relief for free information now. Find out about the Fresh Start program that is now available through Civic Tax Relief. Civic Tax Relief's special tax hotline can help you discover all the relief programs you qualify for free. Just call 800-841-0908. 800-841-0908. 800-841-0908.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
Please briefly hold. You are very important to us.
Your customers need to get a hold of you and you with them. Make it easier with Podium, the messaging tool for local businesses. Podium helps communicate with customers more efficiently by making your business line textable, giving customers a more convenient way to connect. Most businesses can be up and running within 24 hours. Go to podium.com/headline or text the code headline to 511-511. Text headline to 511-511 today.
If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes, you need a new start. Our New Start program will stop collection efforts, remove any liens the IRS has in place, and help you reduce your back taxes by as much as 80%. That's right, 80%. Call 1-800-312-9970. Let the professionals at Coast One Financial Group fight to get you the new start you deserve. If you owe at least $10,000 to the IRS and need a new start on your back taxes, call 1-800-312-9970.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So apparently ice cream people are very bad now. The people who serve you ice cream from the back of trucks, those people need to be stopped. They're a threat to the American way of life. Stop them now. There is a local news affiliate that was broadcasting out the face of an ice cream truck driver who was not practicing social distancing. He was not. He was driving around in his ice cream truck. He was not wearing a mask.
We all had friends and family that were affected by the car fire. Most of the cleanup is done now. A lot of families are looking at rebuilding. If you relied on a well for your water system, it's important to assess the condition of your well and its capabilities to be able to meet the demands of new construction codes. I'm Ted Ogilvie with Diamond Core Drilling. We've been providing water well systems and pumps in Northern California since 1980. Let us help you with your rebuilding process. That's Diamond Core Drilling, 275-8162.
You know, it can be difficult to find a trustworthy, knowledgeable, and yet affordable auto repair shop. Advanced Automotive is a second-generation, locally owned, full-service repair shop serving our community since 1993, and one of only four AAA-approved auto repair shops in the Redding area. Advanced Automotive has a goal, and it's to keep it simple to have safe, reliable vehicles for our customers and our community. Call or come by to meet the crew who is here to serve you. 244-4423. Advanced Automotive.
Green man, call 911.
Call 911. Mr. Freeze, he's on the loose again. Meanwhile, over in Texas, Shelley Luther, who is the salon owner who was engaged in, you know, social distancing and responsibly opening her business like a few days early, and a judge tried to throw her in jail for a week and fine her $7,000. She walked out of jail to loud applause yesterday, which is good news. But here's the thing. The rubber is going to meet the road here. Okay, there is just no way for you to enforce these sorts of things without actual police enforcement. Are you willing to do that? Are you willing to throw people in jail for not wearing a mask in public areas while providing cannabis to the homeless in San Francisco? This is a thing they're actually doing. Okay, according to the San Francisco Chronicle, San Francisco's health department confirmed on Wednesday that the city was administering alcohol, tobacco, medical cannabis, and other substances in an effort to prevent a handful of people quarantined or isolating in city-leased hotels from going outside to get the substances themselves. So it's great. Now we have home delivery by the government of illegal medications to homeless people who are living in hotels at the expense of the government. Great policy. Excellent, excellent policy. I mean, I'm sorry. This is insanity, especially if you were going to say that, sure, we have to be harsh on this because it's flattening the curve. We are really making sure that we are stopping this thing. If you got a plan, share the plan. But I haven't heard. So yesterday, I briefly discussed the fact that there is no actual plan here. That we were told to go in, don't worry, guys, there would be a plan. And then it turns out the plan doesn't exist. And the reason the plan doesn't exist is because we don't actually know what's going to happen over the course of the next year. We have a series of models, and they tell us what's going to happen 1 month out. Irrelevant. There will be an addition going to happen. In the chart to what. Okay, so basically, there are three curves. Let's see. There's a pink curve, a blue curve, and then there is a red curve's rep strategies. Was it right? The uncontrolled everybody is going to be huge. Everybody's going to, and because you're going to rise up because all might have been able to serve medical capacity. And that's what we did. We flipped which curve we the green curve. It rises faster, it reclines faster. And then which rises, reclines slower over time. The number under both the blue capacity, the number of the infection, same over time. So they can have lockdowns. I want to kill grandma. New models that cut off inside of the screen. 2020, what number of cases? Blue strategy that people in nursing, elderly people stay. Some form of social distance. For people, everybody else, with a bunch of 20-year-olds, in all likelihood, you get herd immunity. It's front-loading the immunity, loading the infections. June 2020, fewer people infected, and a lot of June 2020, the head distancing model. Now, and what do you see? Of death, basically the same. The green model, it was spread out long under the two curves, basically the same. Overwhelm, and it's between the reopening, the entire, and the green model economy. Same number of year, you may save a few, same number of people infected, front-loaded, so the pain is times that in today, 61,000 deaths. The other model, you're now up, and then you went down. In one case, kill the economy. Now, what the left will say is that, right, this between full lockdown argument that is do anything, pulled out and talk, you get like overshoot. Let's say that herd immunity, or let's say that the thing spreads faster, then you can actually control it. So you may end up with 80% of the population infected when you only needed 60% infected to achieve herd immunity. Right? So if you did it slowly, you'd gradually ease up to 60%. Herd immunity would be achieved, and then the other 40% of people are protected. Okay, but if you allow people to go out willy-nilly, then you might achieve herd immunity, but because the thing is spreading so fast, you get people who are infected who wouldn't have been infected if you had done this slowly. That's true, but if you involve yourself in social distancing the way that Sweden has, and you approach it more then, you're probably not going to get tremendous levels of epidemic overshoot. Right? The key is, how do you get to herd immunity without that tremendous epidemic overshoot? Now, it is possible, and this is sort of the unspoken assumption, that the green curve is better than the blue curve if there is a therapeutic or a vaccine developed. Now, people are way too sanguine about the possibility of a very effective vaccine here. Even Bill Gates, who's been pushing vaccination, he says that the chances of developing like a super effective vaccine are not over the course of the next 12 months are not supremely high. The flu vaccine is used by about half of Americans. It's only 45% effective for those who use it. Even well-known vaccines like pertussis vaccine, those create a certain level of herd immunity, and that's important. But they're only about 80% effective for people who actually take the vaccine. They are not, in fact, a cure-all. So you're assuming that there will be a therapeutic treatment or that there will be a vaccine that fixes everything. If you're not assuming that, then you have to start thinking about what you can do to get past the pain of the health situation in order to ensure that we have a functioning economy. Because guess what? Not only are you going to get deaths of despair, you're going to get enormous numbers of people in poverty. You're going to have ruined lives in the tens of millions, if not hundreds of millions. Within 6 weeks, basically every small business in America will fail. And you can't just keep signing checks for this sort of stuff forever. So what is the alternative? I keep hearing people like, well, you're saying lockdown needs to end too early. Okay, you tell me. When do you think it's safe for lockdown to end? And nobody will give you an answer. Instead, it's, okay, well, when we flatten the curve, we flatten the curve. Okay, it'll be when there's a testing and tracing procedure in place that's capable of what? Of what? Testing and tracing procedure capable of doing what? And nobody will explain that. Because the testing and tracing procedures are supposed to prevent the overwhelming of the healthcare system, which, again, was the presupposition of the blue curve in the chart that I just showed you. The presupposition of the blue curve is that it doesn't overwhelm medical capacity. So that's what you need the testing and tracing for. You don't need it to get the rate down to zero. There is no world in which we get the rate down to zero. So how about this? How about we recognize the cost of what we are doing? I'm sick of hearing there are no costs to what we are doing when there are clearly costs. In reality, there are a certain number of people who are deeply, deeply comfortable with all of this. This ends up with headlines like this from David Axelrod, Donald Trump's cold, hard political calculation. Weird, because I don't hear any calculation from folks on the Democratic side. I just hear demagoguery. Our plan is that no one dies ever again in human history. And all you have to do is give up all of your freedoms forever. And we'll tell you when you can be free again. No, I'm sorry. The answer is no. No, nobody is offering a solution. Nobody. It's just a bunch of demagogic nonsense. You're listening to The Ben Shapiro Show.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Ron DeRostra. The coronavirus crisis has sent the U.S. unemployment rate surging to nearly 15%, 14.7 actually, a level that was last seen when the country was in the throes of the Depression. Franklin Roosevelt was president, and he was assuring Americans the only thing we had to fear was fear itself. Labor Department said today that 20.5 million jobs vanished in April in the worst monthly loss on record, triggered by the coast-to-coast shutdowns of factories, stores, offices, and other businesses. Retail and leisure and hospitality took the biggest hit from the severe fall-off in consumer spending as the result of stay-at-home orders. In San Francisco, a hotel worker is worried about what happens when he goes back to work.
We started work without being tested. All of us are going to get sick sooner or later, even though we have masks, even though we have gloves. Because in the hotel, sometimes you have to be working shoulder to shoulder.
Meanwhile, an unemployed restaurant server in downtown Chicago is worried about the future.
I don't know if people want to sit in restaurants so close to each other anymore. It's scary. You know, you've been doing it for 21 years. Like, what else? That's all I have on my resume. Where do I go next?
Economists expect the U.S. retail sales report for April being released next week to show a monthly decline of 10% after an 8.4% fall in March. Defense Secretary Mark Esper says Democrats are making false accusations against the Pentagon over its handling of COVID-19.
In a letter to Armed Services Committee Chairman James Inhofe, Esper notes that the DOD has been providing weekly updates in support of congressional oversight, but he laments that some members have taken to leveling what he calls false or misleading assertions regarding the department's response to the coronavirus.
Bob Agnew with the report. News and analysis, townhall.com.
Trading involves financial risk and is not suitable for all investors. Past results do not guarantee future performance.
Stock market have you nervous with all the massive fluctuations? With the impact of coronavirus and the upcoming election, it's virtually impossible to guess what will happen next. With Vantage Point, you don't have to. Text money to 411-411 to find out how our technology can forecast market trend changes with up to 87.4% accuracy. That's right, 87.4%. Text the word money to 411-411 to get what you need to stay ahead of market trends and better protect yourself from sudden downturns. Vantage Point's patented technology analyzes huge quantities of global data in seconds. No more guessing when to stay or when to get out. Text money to 411-411 and we'll send you a link to our free demo so you can better protect your hard-earned capital with Vantage Point. Don't wait. Text the word money to 411-411.
Go to VantagePointSoftware.com for terms, conditions, and privacy policy.
An official Chinese news agency says U.S. and Chinese trade negotiators promised to create favorable conditions for carrying out a truce in their government's tariff war during a phone call today.
The call followed a threat by President Trump to pull out of the agreement if Beijing fails to buy more American goods and services in exchange for Washington suspending planned tariff hikes. The plunge in economic activity and trade due to the coronavirus pandemic has depressed Chinese demand for foreign goods and diverted official priorities away from ending the tariff fight. The two governments have raised tariffs on billions of dollars of each other's imports since 2018 in a fight over Beijing's trade surplus and technology ambitions. Jeremy House reporting.
Major League Baseball will cut its amateur draft from 40 rounds to 5 this year. They say they figured to save about $30 million. More at townhall.com. A judge has refused to dismiss charges against actress Lori Loughlin and her husband in the college admissions cheating case.
A federal judge has rejected a bid to dismiss charges against actress Lori Loughlin, her fashion designer husband Massimo Giannulli, and other high-profile parents in the so-called Operation Varsity Blues case. The defendants are fighting charges of cheating the college admissions process by paying to have their children enrolled. Loughlin and Giannulli are charged with paying $500,000 to get their daughters into the University of Southern California as crew recruits, even though neither girl was a rower. Defense attorneys sought dismissal of the charges, alleging misconduct by FBI agents in the case. Loughlin and Giannulli are scheduled to go on trial in October. I'm Mike Gracia.
Betty Wald Johnson, the mother of New York Jets owners Christopher Johnson and Woody Johnson, has died. She was 99. Betty Johnson was often referred to as the First Lady of the Jets. More on these stories at townhall.com.
I'm Lee Hull.
And I'm Lee Esses.
And we co-host Writing Root.
It's a 10-minute podcast in which we, an author,
and her editor,
cover lessons we've learned about the writing process.
So whether you're an experienced storyteller or still working on that first book,
now is the time to check us out.
Writing Roots is available on iTunes, Spotify, and anywhere you find your podcasts. And don't forget to always
write selfishly.
The Backbone Brew, located at 2143 Hilltop Drive, has been an integral part of our community for over 40 years. They have supported the veterans, law enforcement, fire and disaster survivors throughout this whole time. The Backbone Brew has expanded their walk-in humidor and brought to the North State new lines of fine cigars, pipes, and tobacco products. Additionally, they are offering a pipe bar to try out new tobacco for taste and aroma. Backbone Brew is your one-stop shop for any tobacco product and accessories to include lighters, humidors, pouches, and more. Backbone Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive.
These are unprecedented times. Challenging how the YMCA works to strengthen community as we have for nearly 170 years. But we've always found ways to help people and communities in times of crisis. Right now, Ys across the country are providing emergency childcare, shelter, food programs, and outreach to seniors. But we can't do it alone. Whether you're connected to the Y or have a fond Y memory, we need you to stay with us. Reach out to your local Y today and stay with us for a better us.
About butchering audio in order to make people look bad or video in order to make people look bad. So his people came up with a clip. The clip is of Mike Pence at a facility moving boxes into this facility. And the idea is that he's helping people who are in need. Hey, Kimmel cut this clip, said it looks like Mike Pence is unloading empty boxes just for the photo op. There's one problem. That's Mike Pence joking about it. He doesn't actually do it. We'll play Kimmel, and then I will play for you the entire clip.
Here he is with no mask on, wheeling boxes of PPEs into a healthcare center and doing his best to lift them. What a hero. Just barely in the door. And since it was going so well, and also because he didn't realize he had a mic on, Magic Mike decided to keep it going. Listen in closely here.
Okay, so he says there, can I carry the empty ones just for the camera? Somebody says absolutely. He's clearly joking. How do we know he's clearly joking? Because in the entire clip, which was on C-SPAN and available for everybody, not only does he not then unload the empty boxes, he closes the van and walks away because it's a joke, you idiot. I mean, Jimmy Kimmel's supposed to be a comedian. Doesn't he understand what a joke is? My goodness.
They're a lot easier.
Okay, he makes a mild, harmless joke. He closes the van. This was parroted so much on the internet. It received 3 million views on Twitter. 3 million. And it was parroted by reporters from the New York Times and NBC. What can we say? Fake photo op, wrote NBC's Andrea Mitchell. The video was retweeted by Jamel Bowie and Vox co-founder Matt Iglesias, who is the Ralph Wiggum of the internet. Joe Biden's rapid director of response, Joe Bates, said this is a metaphor for so much of their botched response. April Ryan, you know, the well-respected political analyst on CNN who Trump makes fun of constantly, she said some evangelicals said they supported Donald Trump because Mike Pence is supposedly a devout Christian. But Exodus 20:16 says, you shall not lie. What now? Like, really? That's okay, so you took a piece of context, and then you all retweeted it because it's very, very deeply, deeply important. By the way, it's not you shall not lie. If you're going to quote Exodus 20:16, it's you shall not give false testimony. Like, really? Okay, beyond that, it's amazing. The media are focusing in still on the optics here of Trump and Pence. You know what? I don't care about the optics. You know why I don't care about that? Because here's what we just found out, that this is the worst economic situation any of us have ever seen in our lifetimes. The U.S. economy shed nearly 21 million jobs in April. The unemployment rate is 14.7%. It's just not, it's never been worse than this. Never. And the notion that we are supposed to worry about a joke that Mike Pence is insane. Now, Jimmy Kimmel did walk this thing back a little bit. He kind of gave a half-ass. He tweeted, it would appear that the vice president was joking about this for a staged publicity stunt. The full video reveals that he was carrying full boxes for a stage. My apologies. I know how dearly this administration values truth. So, in other words, your joke doesn't work. Because it turns out that politicians go and do stuff with cameras there. Who knew? A famous while, how bad is it? We were told we couldn't talk about the unemployment drama, right? The cost of shutting. According to the New York, damage has grown 5%. Michelle Meyer, head of what would typically take months out, and happened in a matter of weeks. Exceed the 8 when the unemployment period. 5% 30 actually unders damage to the definition of unactively. The share of the population 51%. The unemployment their pay cut per hour, nearly 11 million reporting working part time. I mean these. Construction, 1 million jobs. Manufacturing, 3 million jobs. 1 million services, jobs, and equality. 0.7, half of the people work. 2.5 million. And the business. So are we allowed to now, or with the open, you're a racist? Over just editorial. Jamel Bull, same column, is racism. We'll get to that in a moment. Love America, camp, cool restaurant, they're okay. A lot of suicide. Social distance. Officials to open this. Next, my name, 4149. Thousands of dollars work. Every small business, life savings. We can't watch kids. Best provide a plan. Shut it down. And if you don't, ain't a plan. There's an end plan to care. Freedom Works texting 490 on the White House message. Text Ben 490. This article from The Apex. That is anybody who does secretly, again, Jamel Bowie writes this about it, that we are just these of people in riots against black. Jamel Bowie, Americans who want the government to bring the control before opening up the economy. Not all. Minority is eager to end. Now, even a faction of that minority. All opposition is responsible for guns and wave Confederate flag strategy in imposition of these protests who want to stark contrast. Unfortunately, apparently COVID-19 is racist. As well, jobs as a result of the pandemic are also disproportionately black and brown, as well as those who have been or will be forced to work or work more as a result of the reopening. Okay, again, nobody's being forced to work. If you want to stay home and lose your job, I suppose that you can do that. But I have a question. What is the alternative here? Just continuing to float people money until when? My favorite phrase, they want the government to bring coronavirus under control before opening up the economy. What does that mean, to bring coronavirus under control? What metric are you using for bringing coronavirus under control? Like, what does that mean? Does that mean the cases go down to zero? Nobody says here. But don't worry. It does not matter what the first half of the if-then statement is. The then is America is racist, right? So says Jamel Bowie. In the 1993 Harvard Law Review article, Whiteness as Property, the legal scholar Cheryl Harris described the development of white racial identity in detail and explained how it took on privileges and benefits that marked it as an asset with social, political, and economic value in the context of a slave society. Oh, it's all about slavery. I didn't realize that when black and brown people disproportionately lose their jobs, that really the people who are wanting the economy to reopen are not the people losing the jobs. It's just white people, because white people are bad. To be white was to have control over oneself and one's labor. It was to be autonomous and subject to no one's will but one's own. The tie between whiteness, freedom, and autonomy would grow stronger in the 19th century during the Jacksonian era, when universal white male suffrage was paired with the strengthening of slave society in the South, and in the 1850s, the outright denial of black citizenship rights. Freedom from domination and control is one aspect of the meaning of whiteness. I have a question. Why exactly shouldn't we all be looking for freedom from domination and control? What does that have to do with race? I thought the whole premise of the American experiment is that slavery was bad, and that the story of America is about extending freedom from domination and control to all the people. Why are we reconnecting this with whiteness now? Why? Because, again, Jamel Bowie has to attribute anything he doesn't like to everybody I don't like is a racist. He says the other aspect in a kind of ideological inversion is the right to control the presence and lives of non-whites. Oh, I see. So if you say you don't want the government controlling you or anyone else, it's because you actually want to control black and brown people. Oh, that makes perfect sense if you're a crazy person, says Jamel Bowie. More than just burdensome, the restrictions become an intolerable violation of the social contract as these Americans understand it. They run against the meaning of their racial identity, of the freedom and autonomy it is supposed to signify. So he's going from a lot of these protesters are white to the reason that the protesters are doing this is because they are white, which is weird because it seems to me like a lot of the reasons people are doing this has nothing to do with race. But it would be unbelievable, except it's in the New York Times editorial page. So nothing is unbelievable on the New York Times editorial page. Meanwhile, by the way, New York City is now cracking down on a variety of parks. Why? Because there was an image showing a dense crowd of mostly white people sunbathing in Hudson River Park in Manhattan, flouting social distancing rules. Another showed a police officer beating a black man in a confrontation that began over an attempt to enforce social distancing rules. People were declaring that the NYPD was, in fact, racist. Number one, it's not clear in the park photos whether people are socially distancing. But the notion gained further traction when the Brooklyn District Attorney revealed 35 of the 40 people arrested in the borough for social distancing were black. So Mayor Bill de Blasio was like, okay, you know what? Got to arrest more white people. He says, instead of we're going to just leave people alone, basically, he says the police are going to limit crowds at two piers at Hudson River Park and another popular park, Domino Park in Brooklyn, starting this weekend. And he says the disparity in the numbers does not reflect our values. We have to do better, and we will. He said the disparity was unacceptable. Okay. So we're not going to actually look at, you know, where people are crowding more. We're just going to arrest more white people. Wow, the imagistics of American politics. An incredible, incredible thing. But the bad guy here is Mike Pence, obviously. All right, we're going to get to more of all of this in just a second. First, let us talk about the fact that this is a very rough time for American business. And if you want to be on top of your business, if you want to make sure that your business is still operational when all of this is over, you really need to know your data. And this is where NetSuite comes in. NetSuite will reduce your uncertainty by giving you visibility and control. With so many critical decisions to make, you need the right numbers, and you need them right now. NetSuite by Oracle is the world's number one cloud business system. With NetSuite, we give you financials, cash flow, payroll, inventory, and more all in one place, so you have clear visibility and total control of your business. NetSuite customers have the flexibility to work from anywhere with immediate clarity on critical information right at your fingertips. No more guessing, no more waiting. Make smarter decisions with confidence because you've got crystal clear visibility into your numbers. Join over 20,000 companies who trust NetSuite to stay in control. Receive your free guide, Managing Business Uncertainty. Schedule your free product tour right now at netsuite.com/Ben. Don't wait. Go get your free guide, Managing Business Uncertainty. Schedule that free product tour at netsuite.com/Ben. That is netsuite.com/Ben. netsuite.com/Ben. And make sure you are on top of all your business data You got to stay in business, and that means using NetSuite, netsuite.com/Ben. All right, coming up, the media, really on top of the things that matter. CNN now has a long piece about why it is a good idea to involve yourself in cuckolding. What now? This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes, you need a new start. Our New Start program will stop collection efforts, remove any liens the IRS has in place, and help you reduce your back taxes by as much as 80%. That's right, 80%. Call 1-800-312-9970. Let the professionals at Coast One Financial Group fight to get you the new start you deserve. If you owe at least $10,000 to the IRS and need a new start on your back taxes, call 1-800-312-9970.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
Please briefly hold. You are very important to us.
Your customers need to get a hold of you and you with them. Make it easier with Podium, the messaging tool for local businesses. Podium helps communicate with customers more efficiently by making your business line textable, giving customers a more convenient way to connect. Most businesses can be up and running within 24 hours. Go to podium.com/talk or text the code TALK to 511-511. Text TALK to 511-511 today.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control of your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problem now by calling the experts at U.S. Tax Shield and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau, so call now. 800-785-9132. That's 800-785-9132. U.S. Tax Shield. 800-785-9132.
As our nation battles COVID-19, every job in a medical facility is critical. Join the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs, housekeeping, food service, supply techs, and other support staff. These people help save lives in medical centers, outpatient clinics, and community living centers. We're hiring in every state, and we've made the process faster. Will you join us on the front line? Visit va.gov/join us to find out how.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So, I don't know what's going on in our mainstream media, but they seem to have a real dedication to trying to mainstream fringe sexual relationships. So we've seen a bunch of articles in the New York Times about polygamy, and then you have the folks over at Slate who are constantly recommending that people engage in open marriages. Now, there's an entire article at CNN citing a study that says cuckolding can be positive for some couples. And the article says, in our current political climate, the term cuck, short for cuckservative, has become an insult of the so-called alt-right aimed at men they view as spineless and emasculated. The slur has its roots in the concept of cuckolding or having an adulterous partner, but according to a recent study by David Lay, you can't make up these names, David Lay, Justin Lay Miller, and the writer Dan Savage, shocking that it was Dan Savage. I can't believe that Dan Savage, who has been for a very long time a proponent of open marriage, he of course is a married gay man, acting on cuckolding fantasies can be a largely positive experience for many couples and hardly a sign of weakness. Yeah, no. Lay, whose book Insatiable Wives addresses cuckolding in heterosexual couples, says, this fantasy has been around as long as marriage and sexuality, but we're hearing more and more about it these days, and more people are rejecting the social stigma against this fantasy. My favorite is when people do studies where they say more and more people or many. More and more people might be like it moved from 2 out of 1,000 to 2.7 out of 1,000. And many could mean like 11 people. I do love that. References to cuckolding appear in literature as early as the 13th century, usually in the form of male characters, who fear that their child has been sired by another man during an act of infidelity. Today, however, cuckolding has become fetishized into a powerful sexual fantasy for some men. Women also share this fantasy, but less so than men. Yeah, no, bleep that women share this less so than men, because basically, okay, note to human beings. Men have many more sexual fantasies and more varieties than women do. Okay, you know why? Because men think about sex like 82.3% of their waking hours. And the rest of the time is spent on the toilet. That's pretty much it. So, wow, you found some men who have weird sexual fantasies. I can't believe it. This must be covered by CNN, the most trusted name in news. Indeed, the numbers suggest that cuckolding, or at least thinking about it, is more common than you might imagine. For his forthcoming book, Tell Me What You Want, The Science of Sexual Desire and How It Can Help Improve Your Sex Life, Lehmiller surveyed thousands of Americans and found that 58% of men and about a third of women had fantasized about cuckolding. I don't know who he's talking to. Like, I mean, seriously, was that a scientific sample that was taken right there? Or are we talking about, like, a Dr. Alfred Kinsey go to the prisons and interview the sex criminals about their sexual fantasies? Lehmiller says that this was originally, he said, initially viewed as a heterosexual phenomenon. It's increasingly prevalent among gay men, too. Writer Dan Savage says, I'd long gotten letters from straight couples into cuckolding, usually initiated by the husband, but none from gay couples until after marriage equality began to gain steam. And so they did a study of cuckolding fantasies and experiences in 580 gay men. Their findings suggest there are similarities between the way gay and straight men view cuckolding, but clear differences, too. Most notably, interracial and BDSM themes don't appear to be as common in gay men's cuckolding fantasies as they are among heterosexual men. The motivations behind the fantasies may also be different. Apparently, for gay men, cuckolding isn't quite as taboo because the norm of lifelong monogamy isn't so strong in the LGBT community. But instead, it's about voyeurism and group sex. Okay, thank you, Dan Savage. I'm so glad that CNN is reporting on this, aren't you? Very, very important. And I'm sure that it strengthens relationship. Nothing strengthens relationships more than saying to your, you know what, I'd like to watch you screw somebody else. Nothing says really strengthening a relationship. I will say that it is amazing how our society has gotten away from not only basic concepts of monogamy, but toward a concept of marriage that doesn't only fail to take stock of your significant other as an individual soul worthy of respect and decency, but also forgets interesting about these studies that it never involves, like, what happens if your kid realizes mommy and daddy are screwing around on one another or that they have practices? Like, is that good for a relationship? Like, is that really good for it? The whole purpose of marriage originally was childbearing. But now, because relationships have mainly become about whatever floats your boat, you end up with studies suggesting that more and more people should engage in bizarre and actually bring those to fruition. Lay says, overall, our research found that for the most part, cuckolding tends to be a positive fantasy in behavior. It doesn't appear to be evidence of disturbance of an unhealthy relationship or of disregard for one's partner. Caveat. We found several personality factors that predict more positive experiences acting on cuckolding fantasies. For those who have a lot of relation abandonment issues, who lack intuition, and who aren't careful, detail-oriented, acting on a consensual non-monogamy fantasy could very well be a negative. Okay, I love how this is phrased. First of all, there are certain studies that are designed to elicit this would be one of those. When you have Dan Savage signing on to the study from the beginning, you know which result they are looking for. But I do love the way that is phrased. See, you'd be in, according to this particular author, if you don't have relationship anxiety or abandonment issues, and if you have significant intimacy and communication, and if you're careful and detail-oriented. In other words, if you are an ideal partner, you're totally into cuckolding. It's only if you're anxious about your relationship. It's only if you're too possessive of your spouse that you don't want to be into this sort of stuff. This is amazing. It's amazing. Okay, what I'd pose in study is that it never actually investigates the, say, strength and durability of relationships based on engaging in this particular act. Instead, it's just like, who fantasizes about it? Well, fantasies are good, so let's do it. Turns out your fantasy might just be really, really screwed up. And not to work on that ever again. We have to just assume that anybody who fantasy is justified in that fantasy. It's just societal intolerance that creates all of this. Alrighty, coming up, we're going to take your phone calls, hopefully not about cuckolding, at 855-236-3228, 855-236-3228. Thanks to producer Colton for bringing that CNN best name in news. Attention, this is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Me. Make this year totally awesome with the Turtle Bay membership. Get free access to world-class exhibits, exciting animal shows, towering playgrounds, and much more. Family memberships are just $90, $10 a month for a whole year of fun. Get yours at bay.org.
In these uncertain times, do you need a much-needed break from cooking? If so, let Mary's Pizza Shack take care of you with their to-go delivery pickup. Mary's is beer and wine at a special discounted rate. And as always, they have their famous pizza, soups, and salads. Open Sunday through Thursday, 11 a.m. to 8 p.m., and Saturday from 11 a.m. to 8:30 p.m. From Mary's family to yours, please be safe.
This ad is not from HUD or FHA and was not approved by HUD or any government agency. Consumers remain responsible for property tax, home maintenance. Premium is an equal housing lender. This is Rich Pinnell, branch manager. NMLS number 1067640. PRMI NMLS 3094.
Let's talk mortgages for a moment. If you're 62 or older and have equity in your home, a reverse mortgage could be a tool for your retirement. For those cash-strapped retirees or those looking for an additional source of income, this is the answer. A reverse mortgage could eliminate your mortgage payment. Another benefit, extend the life of your existing retirement cash. This mortgage isn't for everyone, but when you call Rich Pinnell of Primary Residential Mortgage, we'll counsel you to see if this is a fit for you. If it fits, then life just got easier for you. You see, Rich Pinnell and Primary Residential Mortgage specialize in reverse mortgages. Rich's experience in this specialized field is why so many people have benefited from a reverse mortgage. Call Primary Residential Mortgage. They're happy to help. 530-722-4579. Or go to richforreverses.com. That's rich, the number 4, reverses.com.
The average adult is issued 32 troopers that, with proper care and just a little discipline, should serve you well during your entire tour of duty on this planet. They're called your teeth. But when your platoon gets out of line, holes in the formation, or other problems, you need to call in an expert like General, Dr. William Farrell, with decades of experience keeping those troops in line and executing their assigned duties properly and dependably. If you'd rather not be there while he reestablishes order amongst the troops, Dr. Farrell offers sedation dentistry. He and his highly trained staff will whip your troops into shape without any discomfort. And having served himself in both the Navy and the Marine Corps, Dr. Farrell offers special consideration to veterans. Let him take the best care of your platoon of teeth, and they will serve you always. Call 547-5757 or visit palosidrodentistry.com. At ease.
And for a limited time, Dr. Farrell is offering x-ray, exam, and cleaning for just $175. Call 547-5757 to schedule your visit.
For over 45 years, Clyde's Home Entertainment is the place people turn to for locally owned expert advice on electronics that turn your home into a theater. Clyde's goes the extra mile for their customers. They have a huge selection of audio and video accessories and equipment. Whether it's the latest 4K television or a hard-to-find accessory, Clyde's is the place for all your home electronic needs. Clyde's is a full-service dealer for Samsung, Klipsch, Yamaha, LG, and more. They offer full-service Dish Network. Be sure to ask about the current monthly specials. The original, and still the best, Clyde's Enterprises, 1250 Hartnell and Reading. They have it all. 221-4144. That's 221-4144. Clyde's.
Make this year totally awesome with the Turtle Bay membership. Get free access to world-class exhibits, exciting animal shows, towering playgrounds, and much more. Family memberships are just $90. That's less than $10 a month for a whole year of fun. Get yours today at turtlebay.org.
Migraines can attack anytime, anywhere. Now there's a new kind of pill you can take anytime, anywhere to treat them. Introducing Ubrelvy, or Ubrogepant. Ubrelvy can provide relief from migraine pain and debilitating symptoms without worrying where you are or if it's too late. People took Ubrelvy within 4 hours of a migraine attack. One dose can quickly stop a migraine in its tracks within 2 hours, and many had pain relief in just 1 hour.
Ubrelvy treats migraine attacks in adults and is not for migraine prevention. It is available by prescription only. Do not take Ubrelvy with strong CYP3A4 inhibitors. Tell your healthcare provider about all the medicines you take. Few people had side effects. The most common were nausea, 2 to 4%, and tiredness, 2 to 3%.
While normal routines have shifted, the need for migraine treatment remains the same. Contact your healthcare provider to see if Ubrelvy is right for you. Ubrelvy, the anytime, anywhere migraine medicine. Learn about support and resources at Ubrelvy.com or call 844-4-U-B-R-E-L-V-Y. Sponsored by Allergan. Again.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. Taking your calls at 855-236-3228. That's 855-236-3228. Anna in Newton, Kansas, you're on the Ben Shapiro Show. Go for it, Anna.
Wow. Thank you, Ben, so much for taking my call. Well, I work in a nursing home, and I was just wondering, because you you've been talking so much about protecting nursing homes, but what exactly did you mean by that? Because we're doing so much, but there's still, like, you can bar visitors, but there's still tons and tons of workers that go in and out of there every single day. And, like me as a CNA, we can't socially distance from the residents. We are up close and personal with them.
Right. Right. So the only, what I'm talking about specifically... Yeah, anybody who's having face-to-face interactions with residents needs to be tested on a daily basis in the nursing homes. So I've been saying that you can't have millions of tests per day. And that's true. You can't have millions of tests per day. There are probably tens of thousands of workers in nursing homes across the United States, and the tests need to go there first. And those people need to be tested on a regular basis. And if you have any symptoms at all, you need to be sent home. I mean, that is what we are specifically talking about. I'm not worried about testing kids in kindergarten. The kids in kindergarten are not going to die from this thing. They're not really going to get sick from this thing. They're largely asymptomatic. We don't even know if they can pass the thing. What we do know is that this thing is wiping out entire nursing homes. So all it takes is one person walking in asymptomatic in order for this to become a serious problem. What you need are the very uncomfortable COVID-19 tests, and they are uncomfortable. I mean, I've actually had one. They do a nasal swab, and it's not exactly pleasant, but the reality is that if you want to protect nursing homes, then either you need the people working there to have already had COVID-19 and thus to have built up an immunity, presumably, or you need to make sure that people who are coming into the nursing homes are tested every single day. We now know that the people around the president of the United States are being tested every single day, and the people around the vice president are being tested every single day. It seems to me that the president and the vice president are less likely to get this than anybody who is in a nursing home. So if you are in a position in a nursing home, I'm not talking about, you know, the person who comes in occasionally to fix the plumbing, or the person who works in the administrative office and never has any interaction with the actual seniors in the nursing home. If you are a nurse working in a nursing home and you're not given personal protective equipment or an N95, right, if you don't have the ability to have some sort of actual barrier between you and the person you are working with, then you need to be tested for COVID-19 on a daily basis or a near daily basis as much as we possibly can. And if somebody is diagnosed with COVID-19 in a nursing home, you can't have state laws like California or New York that forced the nursing home to take back the person with COVID-19. That's idiocy.
Yeah. Well, thank you.
Well, I really appreciate the call, and thanks for what you're doing. I mean, working in nursing homes is a difficult, difficult job, and the people who are doing it are really heroic. Martina in Portland, you're on the Ben Shapiro Show. Go for it, Martina.
Hi, Ben. Big fan here from Portland. Thanks for having me. A long-time question I've had is in regards to having discussions with individuals who have opposing viewpoints when there is an obvious difference in morals and values. So my question is, how do you continue a discussion when the root disagreement is based on a difference in values? Is a difference in values a dead end to a conversation?
It definitely can be. It definitely can be. I mean, the fact is that if the person is not willing to have a conversation about clarification of the values, or if they're not open to the possibility that their values may in fact not be correct, then you have to wonder what is the point of the conversation. I always think of, you know, conversations I've had online. It's one of the reasons why for a while there, and I'm going to go back to it, I'd cut down on my consumption of Twitter, because not every conversation is actually worthwhile. So you have to determine what you want from the conversation. Is it a way for you to hone your own values? Is it a way for you to test your values against other values? Is it a way for you to clarify values? Or is the person just going to be, you know, are you knocking your head up against a stone wall? I think a lot of people have this weird feeling that if they keep butting up against a stone wall, that's, you know, somehow a fruitful pursuit. I just don't think that that's the case. So, Martina, what kind of conversation are you talking about?
So living in Portland, Oregon, I mean, I'm one of the very few Republicans out here with surrounded with a lot of different viewpoints, obviously. But, for example, I mean, when it comes down to abortion, when someone values an unbirthed life and someone doesn't, I mean, at the end of the conversation, it's hard to move beyond that. But I'm also trying to learn from others who have different viewpoints than I have. But it feels like a lot of the times I just can't continue with the conversation if that's the main difference. It's just the morals and values aspect of it.
Yep. I mean, I think that is exactly, you know, that's exactly the problem. And I'm not sure that there's a solution to it, particularly on abortion. Once things have been clarified, that's about all you can do. I really appreciate the call, and hang in there. Portland is not an easy city to live, Martina. Really appreciate it. All righty. Evelio in Torrance, California, on the Ben Shapiro Show. Go for it, Evelio.
Hey, Ben, how you doing? I have a question. We've lost our freedoms overnight pretty much in this country. And being born here in the United States and having parents that migrated from Cuba and became citizens here, I heard a lot of stories and things that they taught me that they went through over there in Cuba. I guess my question is, will we ever recover the freedoms that we've lost overnight, not being able to go to church, having to do this social distancing, having to wear masks everywhere? If you own a business, you can't run the business how you want. And do you think the federal government is going to step in at all? And do they have any power to make states like California, Michigan, and so forth go back to normal, basically, because this has nothing to do with the virus anymore, I think. I think there's a hidden agenda. I don't know what it is, but I'd like to hear your thoughts on that.
Well, Evelia, so on the hidden agenda, I think that the agenda isn't really hidden. I think that for a lot of Democrats, all the values line up in the same way. There are a lot of people who are comfortable with lockdown, who are comfortable on dependency on government, who want to see government be more powerful. And by the way, we won't have as many sick and dead people if we never go out again. So I'm not sure that it's as conscious as we're perfectly willing to sacrifice the entire American economy for the sake of maybe saving lives. It's more like I have a gut feeling that if we go out, it's going to be really, really bad. And the reason I have that gut feeling is because I don't think that what's going on right now is so bad. So I think that's really a problem. As far as the federal government's power to open things back up, you are going to see federal lawsuits that are going to be filed along civil rights lines if the denial of civil rights along these lines does continue beyond the point where there's any policy consideration that can be sustained. You know, states and localities do have an awful lot of power when it comes to regulations for purposes of public health. But let's say that the cases are well under control. There's no threat to the health system, and they're just maintaining these social restrictions. At a certain point, courts are going to start taking a very skeptical view as to whether you can continue to tell people to stay in their homes, not go to church, not engage in you know, public freedom of association when there really is, you know, no threat anymore. That's going to be the big question. As far as the freedoms coming back, yeah, I think the American people are not going to stand for this. Even in California, right? California is filled with people who disagree with me. Even in California, the weather's nice. Guess what people aren't going to do? Stay away from the beaches. It's filled with young people who want to go to the beach. And at a certain point, people are just going to say, I want to go to a movie theater. I want to go to the beach. I want to go to a restaurant. And unless you can prove to me that I am either in serious danger or that I am putting somebody else in serious danger, I'm not going to listen to the sort of doom saying that you have suggested, especially because I understand that there are risks. I'm not saying there are no risks. There are certainly risks. But the question is whether you have done anything to mitigate the risks. In other words, am I going to get this thing? Like, seriously, the suggestion is that at a certain point, a huge percentage of the population is going to get this thing. So what is the benefit to me getting this thing later as opposed to me getting this thing now? Now, if I am certain to die from it, then obviously the benefit is I don't die. And so that's true for people who are vulnerable, people who are older. But if you are young and you are healthy, then what is the benefit to me not getting it now as opposed to getting it later? And the only answer there is maybe there's a therapeutic. Maybe the healthcare system is overwhelmed. So if the healthcare system is not overwhelmed and there's no therapeutic, I think what you're going to see is a lot of young people say, listen, whatever. Like, seriously, whatever. I don't interact with people who are elderly all that much. I can stay away from them. I can socially distance when I come into contact with them. And, you know, I don't see any benefit to me, you know, basically stopping my entire life, losing my job, losing my freedoms, so that I can mitigate my risk 0%. I think that's going to be the calculation a lot of Americans make. This change is going to happen naturally bottom up, and you're already starting to see it happen with more and more people going out. This is why it's so stupid for the government to engage in the full-scale lockdown rhetoric, because if the government had actually taken a measured response to this sort of thing, if they had said from the beginning, listen, we're going to lock down for like 2 weeks, 3 weeks, we're going to do it so that we can flatten the curve. The curve is flat. Great. Now, everybody, go back to work, socially distance, wear a mask. If you're vulnerable and you're elderly, shelter at home until we have some sort of better treatment or until we reach herd immunity, and that's it. Then I think everybody would be like, okay. But that's not what we're doing. Instead, they've set out a zero logic standard of guidelines without any actual guidelines, right, with no actual steps we are supposed to hit in order so that people can go back to work. They just throw out slogans. Testing and tracing. Okay, what the hell does that mean? How many tests? How much tracing? You know, what's the time period? What are we talking about here? And nobody will give you a straight answer because they don't want to give you a straight answer. That's the part where people are frustrated. And the frustration is going to lead to more irresponsibility. The frustration is going to lead people to be like, you know what? I'm not socially distancing. I'm not wearing a mask. Screw all of you. Like, I'm just going to do whatever I want to do because I don't believe you. I think that you have an ulterior motive. I don't think you're doing this based on the data. I don't even know what you're attempting to do here. So guess what? I'm 25. I'm healthy. And you want to call me selfish? Go ahead and call me selfish. But I'm not interacting with grandma in the first place. Right? I think that there's – if you actually wanted a measured – if you wanted a measured movement back into American society, the worst way to do it is with non-measured responses that have nothing to do with the data.
Yeah, my main concern is you have cops now starting to enforce this. I mean, you see videos of people being body slammed and cited, you know, for paddleboarding out by themselves in the middle of the ocean. You could go to Costco and stand in line with 100 people, but you can't go take a walk at the beach. You can't go take
right.
a walk
and
at the
again,
park. Because
there will come a point where there are just too many people to police. Like Gavin Newsom was saying, I'm going to shut down the beaches in Huntington Beach. Okay, well, basically, he made the declaration, and then people just didn't go to the beach. But if he had done it the prior weekend, you think they could have rounded up 40,000 people at the beach? I mean, that just was not going to happen. And you're starting to see it in New York as well, right? People are out in Central Park. Down in Florida, people are going to the beach. And guess what? If it becomes a real thing where people are getting body slammed on a regular basis for walking alone on the beach, social distancing from each other, there will be some real political ramifications for that. The American people are going to take the lead, and the leaders are going to respond by recognizing that what they're doing is just not sustainable. Evelio, really appreciate the call. We're going to take more of your calls in 1 second at 855-236-3228 first. It is pretty obvious at this point that if you are running a business, you have to be absolutely meticulous in how you handle your business. I mean, the risks to your business have never been greater. This is why you need to make sure you're on top of your data. The best way to be on top of your data, NetSuite by Oracle. It's the world's number one cloud business system. Finance, HR, inventory, e-commerce, everything you need all in one place so you save time, money, and headaches. Whether you're doing a million or hundreds of millions in sales, NetSuite will give you visibility and control so you can manage every penny with precision. Join over 20,000 companies who trust NetSuite to go faster with confidence. NetSuite surveyed hundreds of business leaders, assembled a playbook of the top strategies they are using as America reopens for business. You can go receive your free guide right now. 7 actions businesses need to take right now. Schedule your free product tour at netsuite.com/Ben. Again, get your free product guide and schedule your free product tour right now at netsuite.com/Ben. It's spelled NetSuite.com/Ben. You just cannot afford to be using a bunch of non-integrated systems to try and handle your data at a time when you really need to know every aspect of your business down to the nitty-gritty to make sure that you can continue to operate profitably and keep people employed. NetSuite.com/Ben will help you do both. NetSuite.com/Ben for the free guide and schedule your free product tour right now. All right, taking more of your phone calls in just a moment at 855-236-3228. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Before I was adopted, I felt like my life was already over.
My biggest fear was that I would age out and not know how to be sufficient on my own.
At a certain age, like, they don't want you, you're troubled and stuff.
The clock is ticking for the more than 125,000 kids waiting to be adopted from foster care. Help the Dave Thomas Foundation for Adoption prevent them from aging out without a permanent family. Learn more at DaveThomasFoundation.org.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control of your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problem now by calling the experts at U.S. Tax Shield and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau, so call now. 800-785-9132. That's 800-785-9132. U.S. Tax Shield. 800-785-9132.
Please briefly hold. You are very important to us.
Your customers need to get a hold of you, and you with them.
Join Aaron Ryan and Bill Cundiff for We the People Radio every Sunday from noon until 2.
We bring you the whole story rather than a bunch of sound bites.
You'll hear from experts on national security, the environment, veterans affairs, world politics, and everything in between.
Our commercial-free archives are always available at wethepeopleradio.us.
Sponsored in part by Pape Machinery, located at 3119 Twinview Boulevard, for all your John Deere Ag and Turf products.
Join us every Sunday from noon until 2. wethepeopleradio.us.
Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes, you need a new start. Our New Start program will stop collection efforts, remove any liens the IRS has in place, and help you reduce your back taxes by as much as 80%. That's right, 80%. Call 1-800-312-9970. Let the professionals at Coast One Financial Group fight to get you the new start you deserve. If you owe at least $10,000 to the IRS and need a new start on your back taxes, call 1-800-312-9970.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show, taking your calls at 855-236-3228. Justin in Cleveland, Ohio, you're on the Ben Shapiro Show. Go for it, Justin.
Hey, Ben. Thanks for taking my call. So a question for you. As more economic data starts to come out that shows, you know, just how hard hit both the national and state and local economies have been by the lockdown measures, I'm wondering if you think that that in turn puts more pressure on governors that have been reticent to open. So, for example, here in Ohio, our governor just announced $750 million of cuts to our budget coming from education and Medicaid mostly. And, of course, that has people freaking out. So the question is, one side obviously thinks, hey, let's get back to work. The other side says federal government bailout time. So I'm wondering, you know, what your thoughts are on that.
So I think that it depends on the governor. Meaning if you're a blue governor, the answer is you really feel no pressure because the more economic downturn there is, the more you just blame Trump, right? This is what you're seeing from Andrew Cuomo in New York. It's what you've seen from Phil Murphy in New Jersey and Gretchen Whitmer in Michigan, is that because the media are basically willing to give you cover for any garbage governance you do, and because your garbage governance is basically excused by COVID-19 and by Trump, then you have the easy out of saying, well, the real reason that the economy sucks right now is not because I am being too brutal in my lockdown. The real reason the economy sucks is because of Trump and because of coronavirus and Trump and coronavirus. And you just say that over and over again. If you're Mike DeWine in Ohio, however, you don't have the luxury of the media kissing your ass every day. And so suddenly the economic downturn means, you know what, I better kind of let people out of lockdown here, because guess what? I'm going to get blamed by my political opposition for the economic downturn, or I'm going to be blamed for the loss of human life. Now, the fact is COVID-19 is what is taking the human lives. We're going to do whatever we can to protect those human lives. But if there's an economic downturn, I'm just not getting reelected. Democrats don't have to worry about getting reelected during economic downturns. One of the weird truisms of American politics that nobody wants to talk about is that if there is a serious economic downturn during a Democratic administration, sometimes that's really good for the Democrat, right? FDR won four separate terms while completely blowing up the American economy term after term after term, because he would just suggest, well, it's the malefactors of great wealth, and I'm going to give you new benefits, and so why not reelect me? And you can see the same thing happening during the very, very weak Obama recovery. Well, if the same may hold true for Democratic governors. Now, is it possible that if the rubber hits the road, that if people just mass unemployed, small businesses going under, no government benefits forthcoming, that they start to rebel against governors in these states? I mean, that's a possibility, but you're going to have to see some public unrest before that happens. They're not just going to look at the statistics. They're going to look instead at the fact that outside their window, there are a lot of people who are small business owners, donors, you know, their own donors, people in business who are very angry at them. I mean, the truth is a lot of Democratic donors do have jobs and they do have small businesses to run. So that's the countervailing perspective. But certainly they won't be pressured by the media. This is why Ron DeSantis in Florida, who handled this thing fine, has an approval rating in the 50s. And Andrew Cuomo, who handled it like garbage, is up in the 80s right now.
Exactly. Well, DeWine, I know, is in the 80s here in Ohio as well, and he's still getting plenty of ass-kissing done from our local media because he's been governing more like a Democratic governor than a Republican governor. So those aren't largely Democrats that are protesting him outside the state house. You know what I'm saying? So
right. No, that's right. I mean, by the way, I've heard the same stuff about Governor Abbott in Texas. There are a lot of people in Texas who are saying, why are you allowing Dallas and Austin to basically arrest people for trying to reopen their shop. So there's a lot of disquiet in red states that are in the opinion of a lot of folks being too cautious about this. Again, the part that's astonishing to me is that nobody has actually put out a solid plan for how to protect the most vulnerable. I mean, to pretend that everybody is equally vulnerable to this thing is to ignore all statistics that are available on it. And it's incredible to me that instead we are going to rely on governors to determine what essential businesses look like as opposed to non-essential business, as opposed to, hey, wait a second, there's one group of people here who are significantly likely to die. If you're over 80, then you get COVID-19, you are very, very likely to die. And when I say very, very likely, I'm not talking about you're 30% likely or 20% likely. I'm saying that you might be somewhere between 7 and 10% likely to die if you take into account the asymptomatics. If you're between the ages of 60 and 70, then you're about 3% likely to die. If you are below the age of 50, then you are very, very, very unlikely to die. And so why exactly are we treating all populations the same when it comes to tranching them back in or issuing protective gear or issuing protective orders? One-size-fits-all policy is the enemy of good policy, and this is why, again, DeSantis, you know, being more local in his approach makes a lot more sense than the sort of statewide orders that have come down. I think that DeWine is feeling the pressure. This is why DeWine has started to open things back up, and I'm glad that Governor DeWine has done that.
Indeed. Thanks for your thoughts, Ben. Appreciate it.
Appreciate it. Nicholas in Michigan, you're on the Ben Shapiro Show. Go for it, Nicholas.
Hi, Ben. I have a friend who is an outspoken leftist, and she's been saying that pro-life lawmakers and conservatives are a bunch of hypocrites, because the stimulus bill from the government, which includes like the $500 per child thing, excludes pregnant women. So she's been saying that this proves that unborn children are not people, even by our own conservative standards.
And it's so here's my question: is she under the weird misimpression that the House of Representatives is controlled by Republicans? Like, that makes no sense. The reason it makes no sense is because if Republicans were, I promise you, if Republicans were able to give a subsidy to pregnant women on behalf of unborn children, I'm sure that Republicans would go for it. However, we do have this thing in the United States called an elected political system in which Democrats hold a very, very large minority in the Senate and hold a majority in the House. Did she really think that Nancy Pelosi was going to sign off on a bill that included a provision that allowed additional subsidies for pregnant women on behalf of children? Like, what? and like that is a very, very confusing assertion from your friend. Believe you me, if there were a way for Republicans to give additional subsidies to pregnant women, I'm sure that they would do it. They are not doing it specifically because they couldn't even get Democrats to sign off on additional subsidies to big businesses, right? Businesses that employ tens of thousands of people. They had to restrict it to small businesses. I mean, the Democrats are too busy trying to please the liability lawyers. Forget about pregnant women. So a bizarre assertion by your friend. Tell her that she ought to look at how American politics actually works and the fact that there's more than one party in American politics. All righty. We'll be taking more of your calls a little bit later, 855-236-3228. Meanwhile, the number of jobs that have vanished in the United States is just astonishing. According to the latest jobs reports from April 2020, non-farm payrolls fell by 20.5 million in April. The unemployment rate is up to 14.7%. Those are both post-World War II records. Economists have been expecting this job loss of 21.5 million jobs and the unemployment rate to surge to 16%. The real unemployment rate, that includes workers not looking for jobs and the underemployed, surged to 23%. So 23% of the working age workforce is not, in fact, working right now. Economists surveyed by Dow Jones had been expecting payrolls to shed 21.5 million. Bottom line is, it's just a disaster area. It's the worst economic depression in American history. It is not particularly close. The only thing that rivals it is the Great Depression itself. Now, the good news is because the jobs were lost this quickly, that suggests that a lot of those jobs will come back when people are allowed to go back out and get back into the economy. Right now, 4.1 million homeowners are skipping their payments because they simply cannot afford their mortgages right now. Once people are informed of the actual risks in life, I think that things are going to start to get back to somewhat approaching normal. One of the big questions here has been, okay, so you reopen the economy. Are people really going to go back to work? And the answer is people are then going to make individual risk assessments. And if they are young and if they are healthy, then they are going to probably go back to work. And if they are older and they are vulnerable, they probably will not. And frankly, that is the way that risk assessment works on an individual level in a free country. And that's how it should work. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Ron DeRockstra. The highest unemployment number since the Great Depression, 14.7% in April.
The federal government says 20.5 million jobs were lost in the worst monthly loss on record. The figures are strong evidence of the damage the coronavirus has done to the economy. The losses reflect what has become a severe recession caused by sudden business shutdowns in nearly every industry. As recently as February, the unemployment rate was a five-decade low of 3.5%, and employers had added jobs for a record 113 straight months.
Jeremy House reports the government report noted many people who lost jobs in April didn't look for another one. They weren't even counted in the numbers. The impact of those losses reflected in the drop in the proportion of working-age Americans who have jobs, just 51.3%. That's the lowest on record. A poll by the University of Chicago Divinity Associated Press and ORC Center for Public Affairs Research finds just 9% of Americans think in-person religious services should be permitted without restrictions, while 42% think they should have restrictions, 48% think they should not be allowed at all. President Trump says he's not worried after two cases of COVID-19 in the White House.
First, it was a military valet in the White House who tested positive virus, then a member of Vice President Pence's staff. The president was asked if he's worried about his safety.
I'm not worried, but, you know, look, I get things done. I don't worry about things. I do what I have to do.
Necessary precautions are being taken, and Chief of Staff Mark Milley, the White House is probably the safest place you can visit. Greg Clugston, Washington.
Magician Roy Horn of the famed Las Vegas act Siegfried and Roy died complications from coronavirus. He was 75. News and analysis at townhall.com.
Relief factor, pain relief that's natural, pain relief that works, and pain relief that attacks the source of the pain. That's the experience of tens of thousands of Americans who are taking Relief Factor right now. See their incredible video endorsements at relieffactor.com and then order your three-week quick starter pack for just $19.95. That's less than a dollar a day. For you like it works, for the three-week quick starter pack today. Relieffactor.com, relieffactor.com, the next success story.
If you need to save money right now, start with your wireless bill. Pure Talk USA will give you unlimited talk, text, and 1 gig of data for just $20 a month. Switching takes just minutes, and you can even keep your phone and your number. Pure Talk USA's coverage is so good, they cover 99% of American households. Plus, save an additional 50% off your first month if you switch today. Go to puretalkusa.com and enter the promo code HALFOFF. That's puretalkusa.com, promo code HALFOFF. Pure Talk USA, simply smarter wireless.
Siemens, maker of trains, power generators, and medical scanners, saw net profits sag in quarter due to the virus outbreak.
And in its business forecast for the year, saying it expected the downturn to bottom out in the current quarter. Net profit fell to 697 million euros in the first 3 months of the year from 1.92 billion year earlier quarter. Revenue was down slightly to 14.22 billion from 14.24 billion euros. The Munich-based Siemens will operate production sites and supply chains near normal levels, but that the outbreak meant lower demand, income and cash flows, and restricted access to customer sites in the affected regions. Jeremy House reporting.
Starting next week, Amtrak will require passengers wear face masks, must cover the nose and mouth while in stations, on trains, and breaking news and analysis at townhall.com. President Trump offers up another nomination for the bench.
The president has nominated a federal magistrate who formerly worked as a prosecutor and public defender to fill a judicial vacancy in Hampton Roads. The White House has announced the nomination of magistrate Judge Roderick Young to a district judgeship opening in the Eastern District of Young has served as a magistrate since 2014 and is based in Young's nomination will be subject to consideration by the Senate Judiciary Committee. It will also need to be confirmed by the full Senate.
California Governor Gavin Newsom warning three could lose disaster funding if they continue to defy his stay at Yuba, Sutter, and Madoc counties all have allowed businesses to reopen because they have fewer coronavirus cases than other parts of the state. Check out more on these stories at townhall.com. I'm Ron DeRockstra.
In these uncertain times, do you need a much-needed break from cooking? If so, let Mary's Pizza Shack take care of you with their to-go delivery pickup. Mary's is offering to-go beer and wine at a special discounted rate. And as always, they have their famous pizza, pasta, soups, and salads. Open Sunday through Thursday, 11 a.m. to 8 p.m., and Friday and Saturday from 8:30 p.m. From Mary's family to yours, please be safe.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? Find out. Listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program on AM on KCNR with your hosts Wayne Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
Come out and play. Have you seen the building? We all have to pay. The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson State of Mind.
Hi, I'm Arielle Winter. If you're anything like me, your pets are not only humans, they're part of your family. Maine, which has been rescuing animals like Cleo here for more than 100 years, has life-saving tips that can make a big difference in a disaster. When disaster strikes, you want to protect your whole family, including your pets. Family safe our best friends in their worst times. Find tips at AmericanHumane.org.
To locking down forever, then you apparently want grandma to die. But joining us on the line is Warren Nord. He's an intellectual property bankruptcy and litigation lawyer at Nord Law in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. He just represented Shelley Luther, who, of course, was the owner of Salon a la Mode, and she was arrested for opening her salon against stay-at-home orders and released it yesterday. Warren, thanks so much for joining the show. Really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me, Bill.
So why don't you start by giving us sort of the fact of the case. What exactly did Shelley Luther do? In what fashion was she looking to open her salon again?
Okay, so she closed when everybody said, we've got to close. And then 1 week went by, 2 weeks went by, a month goes by. Shelley is told of a lawsuit that we were putting together that was challenging a lot of these executive orders. As you know, there's a governor's executive order, then there's a county judge executive order, and then there's a city executive order. And then you have some code enforcement guy that's enforcing his version of whatever those are. And so it's very strange across the state. You have a lot of different executive orders being affected, impacting a lot of people a lot of different ways. So Shelley joined with that effort, which was filed, and four of the nine members of the Texas Supreme Court filed concurrence and said, hey, we'll come talk to you later on this, but you got to talk to the district courts first. So while that was going on, she said, I can't wait. I've got stylists that are starving. I'm going to open. And so we had a long talk, and I promise you, Ben, I told her this could happen. You can go to jail. And she understood that. So she opened on the 24th, I think it was. And then that same day, Clay Jenkins, the county judge of Dallas County, brought her had a minion bring her a cease and desist letter, which he has no power to write, but he did. And then she got a citation, and then the city of Dallas filed suit, sought an injunction. Then we had an injunction hearing. I came back. The local rules of Dallas says that I get 2 hours of notice before a TRO hearing, but I didn't get that. And so we had I walked in from lunch and they said the court wants to talk to you. Okay, here we are. And so we had a TRO hearing, temporary restraining order that said you gotta not operate anymore. She continued to operate. And so a few days later, the city of Dallas filed a request for a show cause for finding the contempt. And then we had that contempt hearing. And of course, that's been all over the news. You've seen that before. So we had the contempt hearing. The court actually, I'll just give a moment. The court did not come down as hard as it could have. It said that it could continue to operate. The salon has continued to operate since it first reopened, but it's paying a fine of $500 a day. Then we filed, so she was remanded to the custody that day on the 5th. All day the 6th, we wrote a writ of habeas corpus petition. And the morning of the 7th, yesterday, the Supreme Court reacted, and here we are.
So when she was looking to reopen, it sounds like Ms. Luther was doing so in responsible fashion. She wasn't just saying, come in here willy-nilly, you know, fill up all of the seats, you know, spit on each other. That she was attempting to be responsible in how she reopened her business, correct?
That's correct. Everybody wants to say, okay, it's either open or not open. In fact, the new executive order says you're just open, but you have to do some things, right? We were doing those things before we were required to, just like a lot of the grocery stores were putting out markers before they were required to. So the assumption has always been that if we don't have a law or a rule, then everybody's going to be as irresponsible as possible. Certainly that you can find examples of that, but Shelley Luther is not one of those. She took off all the magazines people would normally go through. There's no drinks hanging around. Chairs are parked, 6 feet apart from each other. Nobody was allowed in. Interestingly enough, the cops came in the first time, and she said, no, you got to go back and get your mask. So that was kind of an interesting point.
So what are the current restrictions in the city of Dallas? There have been rumors that this business is going to be able to open up anyway within a week or within a week and a half. So what are the current restrictions there?
As of today, salons can open. And so that's the funny part is that, okay, so Ms. Luther is in jail or was in jail for 7 days for her past crime of, we can summarize the as heresy against the state. Now, I'm not saying that you should go around disobeying court orders all the time or that the court wasn't within his right mind or doing something crazy to not punish her at all. But we just felt like it went over the top. The current restrictions allow restaurants 25%. They allow a lot of things at 25%. They don't allow the bars or gymnasiums. And so those are still – I think actually they're at 25% too. The bars are still closed. Okay, so here's the problem with executive orders. When you legislate by an executive order, you don't have the normal process, and so you have to make these consistent changes. If you're a restaurant that serves at a bar often, so you have the 51% over alcohol, you can't operate, even if you've got a full restaurant. So all of these bars are looking, I could run as a restaurant, but executive order doesn't allow them to do that. So over a period of time, we expect more reasonableness in our rules. Nobody would have filed this lawsuit or opened 2 days after when we thought the virus was going to be zombie, walking dead, we're all, you know, plague. But weeks and weeks later, we expect these rules to tighten up and be more rational.
So people are obviously very upset about all this. Shelley Luther became a cause celeb, as well she should, because she is speaking for literally hundreds of thousands of people across the country who work at small businesses, millions of people who work at small businesses, who are saying that these lockdowns are just not – it is not possible to go on this way. So if people are angry at the authorities, which level of authority should people be angry at? I've seen some people angry at the local authorities in the Dallas area, some angry at the judge. I've seen some people who are angry at the governor, saying that the governor has not been clear about exactly what the orders should be and what exactly the standard should be across the state.
Well, it's a typical problem you have, you know, when you're governing by executive order fiat, you need to have feedback. And so the people that are enforcing this are the ones that actually need the most direct feedback. In the hinterlands and backwoods of Texas, it's the sheriff who walks around, I am the law, and does whatever he wants. And he says, I'm enforcing the governor's edicts, and he does literally what he wants. Here locally, it's often a code enforcement guy that's working under the Dallas. Dallas has the fourth amended emergency regulations, not a law, treated like a law, but it's not a law. And so those people, the problem is these people kind of fly under the radar. Who knows who their county commissioner is or who their city council's people are? What I want people to do is to remember the anger that they feel right now in May when we elect the city council people and these mayors, so that they understand, no, you do have an impact on our life, and sometimes that impact is a little over the top.
So how is your client doing today? I mean, obviously, it's been a very tumultuous week. How's she doing today?
Well, she's doing very well. I think she's out visiting some people right now. Yeah. She was in there for two nights. It's long enough to find out that you don't want to be there very long. So she's going to take a few days. She's got a lot of death threats. And, of course, people who don't want to work don't want her to succeed. So she's taking a few days. She's not doing any mass appearances, although she's doing some local media and some national media. Ben, if I could just say that what we need to do is we need to give feedback to the people that are issuing the executive orders, which you just asked me about a minute ago. But I would ask, since you're an attorney, there are 100,000 attorneys. I should not be getting all these phone calls, right? And I didn't start off as a constitutional, you know, theorist. I'm just a business guy. But there are 100,000. A lot of people are very competent. And I shouldn't be getting calls from North Carolina because nobody in North Carolina can be doing this. But what I do like and what Shelley's done, and this is what she's really done, is provide an example to a lot of people. My understanding is the governor of Massachusetts said, I don't want to be another Texas, as he opened up the golf courses. So people need to understand that this is not an economics versus people issue. This is a people versus people issue. We can't say you guys have to take all the sacrifice. I'm only going to hear that from people who have given all of their money and emptied themselves of wealth. If you want to do that and show that you're willing to sacrifice that, then you can ask other people to do the same.
Well, Warren Norrod, thank you so much for joining the program. The lawyer for Shelley Luther, among other things, his firm is Norrod Law in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. I really appreciate the time, sir.
Thank you.
All righty, coming up, we're going to talk about a new study that suggests how many people could actually die from this economic downturn, because there are lives on the other side of this question. We'll get to that in just a moment. First, I'm sure that pretty much everybody who can is working from home these days. That means that your IT department just is not around to protect you from the online threats. This means that you really do need to protect yourself, and this is why I recommend ExpressVPN for the best online protection possible. I've been talking about ExpressVPN on my show for so long, you already understand why encrypting your network data is really important. Some of you still have not acted. Why? Well, you might be thinking security threats don't affect you. Maybe you think, okay, well, you know what? What do hackers want with me? Your money is the answer. You wouldn't leave your front door unlocked, and you really should not leave your internet activity unlocked. You should be using ExpressVPN. Super easy to install. One click, it'll now operate. It doesn't slow down your computer, which for me is very important since I run an internet company. So here's the big question. Why haven't you just gone and done this? Visit my special link right now, expressvpn.com/Ben. Get an extra 3 months of ExpressVPN for free. Protect your internet today with the VPN I trust to keep my data safe. Again, that's expressvpn.com/Ben. 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 Get that extra 3 months of ExpressVPN for free when you go to expressvpn.com/Ben. Okay, so speaking of crazy orders, there was this very controversial order that came out of Ventura County. Ventura County officials have now been forced to apologize because their original suggestion was that if you did not isolate or quarantine yourself at home, you would be removed from your home. There was video circulating on social media. It showed a guy named Dr. Robert Levin, director of Ventura County Public Health, speaking before the Board of Supervisors on Tuesday about a plan to hire up to 50 new contact tracing investigators to find people who have COVID-19 and immediately isolate them and then find every one of their contacts and make sure they stay quarantined and check in with them every day. And apparently, in the middle of this little session, he suggested that we might actually force you to stay at a hotel or a motel. He said yesterday at this conference at the Board of Supervisors, I gave people the impression that if you were isolated, you would be taken out of your home and put in a hotel or a motel or sequestered in some other way. He said, that's an option. It's possible if you become infected, you don't want to stay in your home, you're afraid you'll expose other people. We'll work with you to find a place to stay, and it's likely to be a hotel or a motel. But that was directly after he had suggested that we would be moving people from their homes in involuntary fashion. That, like, if you're at home and you don't have an extra bathroom, then we're just going to move you out of your house. I mean, this is why local officials, you should be very careful in how you talk. Because eventually people are just going to go, listen, I'm not listening to anything you have to say. And when the media are busy trying to narc on people who operate ice cream trucks, I think we can all agree that this is getting a little over the top. In Chicago, there was an actual local report about a guy driving around, and they targeted him. See him call 911 because he's not mask wearing in a truck by himself. It's just craziness. Here's a little bit of that report.
You think it's a good idea to be doing this with a stay-at-home order? It's COVID-19.
Eventually, our Greg got a bit closer. Tried to get an answer from Mr. Freeze. Again, not his name.
Why aren't you wearing a mask, sir?
Why are you trying to tell
ice cream
out of the hands
to children without wearing a mask?
Why?
I say that.
Healthy people. Man, one.
No, man, that is an elder into his own hands, but that one's mean it is. Okay, we are a kale. COVID-19 American socially discompleted. Complete and utter. And I'm not saying why it is that I don't understand New York and why the suburb being treated like Philadelphia. Any sense? It's in the utter of governors who can. There's no choice in the economy here.
Thank you for calling.
You know, business is changing.
You are very
good to get a hold
of. Estimating
businesses. Customers more efficient. Give more convenient. Prior urgent. Matter shared. Everyone can stay. Review. New. Getting paid remote. As and poet trans businesses can be up and running. Go talk or text 511. 511-511.
Where pill you can treat them. Ubrelvy can end debilitating symptoms where it's too late. Ubrelvy within 4 on dose can act within 2 hours pain relief.
Ubrelvy acts in adult. It is a big Ubrelvy 3-8. Tell your healthcare provider you take few bags, the most cup and 10%.
If it, the treatment remains. Contact your healthcare provider. V is right for you. Learn about support and home or 4-7.
Oh, over taxes. New start top collection of the IRS and help you read taxes by your cent. Call 970 Financial Group to get you the New Start. Please 10,000 the IRS. New Start 1-800-31.
For now, LTO has hit the road. Business in this uncertain upgoing out of the day. For the SIA and stability, support it. SIA.AIA.
the Ben Shapiro Show. So he's up there who actually, if anything, would just where they sit with a plan for you. That's a plan. Screaming at the moon. Have the most popular, exactly that. Yes, as long as you have your health or a bridge and have no money to eat, in which case, yeah, really, there's only one.
I have to have, I don't see the trade-off, our health. I don't care if a person is old or deaf. I still think I have my old, she's a person. So protect every life, and I'm not going to trade off public health. And we'll figure out the dollars, and we'll figure out the economic impact.
Oh, you'll figure it out, will you? Will you figure it out? Because I feel like you're not figuring it out. Also, is anybody saying we should go over to the old age home and just smother grandma? Like, who are these weird people saying we should smother grandma? Like, what the hell? Why is it that every time they're like, you're killing grandma? You're like, no, I just want a plan for reopening. The plan is killing grandma. Stop having plans. Plans are bad. They kill grandma. It's like, what are you talking about? What are you talking about? By the way, there's a new study out today, and it says that the coronavirus pandemic could lead to 75,000 deaths of despair from suicide, drug, and alcohol abuse. Are we allowed to talk about this yet or no? Or is it all just, you know, as long as you have your health, you have everything, Andrew Cuomo. Don't worry, we'll figure out all that money stuff later. You know how you're completely broke, lost your life savings, and you can't feed your... We'll figure it all out later. The important thing is, I've got my grandmother, and my grandmother feels great. Or how about this? How about we protect... Hey, you didn't do it, Andrew Cuomo. And then we let people go back to work and earn a damned living. According to one of the study authors, he says deaths of despair are tied to multiple factors like unemployment, fear, and dread, and isolation. Prior to the COVID-19 pandemic, there are already an unprecedented number of deaths of despair. We wanted to estimate how this would work moving forward. The researchers point to several factors that could make the problem worse. The potential for a serious, even deadly infection from a previously unknown microbe, an unprecedented economic shutdown, skyrocketing unemployment, month-long social isolation, uncertainty about treatment and prevention strategies. The study suggests that with a rapid recovery and the smallest impact on deaths of despair, at least 28,000 additional deaths of despair. If there's a very slow recovery combined with the largest scale unemployment, it could result in more than 150,000 deaths of despair. So we're not supposed to discuss this. I guess you want to kill grandma. So if you want to save the 30-year-old, it's apparent you want to kill grandma. So stupid. So unbelievably stupid. By the way, speaking of not protecting nursing homes, here is Governor Cuomo, America's governor, trying to explain why he didn't protect the nursing homes.
We knew the nursing homes were going to be a target. And whatever we do, they will be a target. Our people are doing everything they can do. We have the equipment. We have the staff. They're doing everything they could do.
So I have a question. You're big on the testing, right? Why aren't all the tests located at the nursing homes? Why aren't the tests at the nursing homes? Like, why are we starting with testing not at the nursing homes? Most of the people dying in most states are at nursing homes. And to pretend that they're all young people, it's just nonsense. It's not right. You know how you can tell when someone's being dishonest with you on all this stuff? When they say things like, well, it's true that a disproportionate number of older people are dying. Young people are dying. Okay, that's true generally. Well, it's true that a disproportionate number of people 85 are dying. Young people are dying in this country. Yes, but it's mostly not young people. That does make a difference when you're determining how to protect things. I mean, honestly, this is just the lack of willingness to even have the conversation is completely astonishing to me. Completely astonishing. Meanwhile, remember Ron DeSantis? He was ripped up and down because he didn't shut the beaches fast enough. And then it turns out that Florida is not being hard hit. Apparently, he's a very, very bad man. He points out there's no evidence of outdoor transmission, and that's why I didn't shut down the beaches.
We have virtually no evidence of any outdoor transmissions leading to outbreaks, be it a beach, be it a golf course, via fishing, anything that Florida is known for. The transmission has typically occurred in enclosed environments when you have repeated contact with someone, such as in the home. And so our policy was never to try to drive people indoors.